Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Yep, I know. Yeah. I know. Oh, hold on. Which one are you on, Mike?
I'm on... There we are.
Which one? Number three?
I'm on three.
Number three. Gotcha.
I'm on Mike three.
Like it goes without saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a super new adjustment on this chair.
Did you? Happy belated birthday to me.
Happy birthday
Happy
to
birthday.
You.
I'll say it only because we didn't have a radio show on Saturday.
Right. Whenever, 35 and you do not look a day over 35.
Whenever that was.
I was here on Saturday waiting for you guys. The candles kept burning down.
Melting.
I kept having to replace.
You mean you didn't buy the funny candles that, you know, light?
You blow them out, they relight. However, I do want to say...
There was no one to blow.
We'll get into this in just a moment. I did get a great present. The greatest present you could ever want.
Right.
A brand new general manager.
Well, happy birthday.
That's what I really wanted.
That's what you were wishing for. That was on your wish list.
Let me just have every year, Mike, mm-hmm. It is. Let me just say, hello.
Hey.
Hello. 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 Come on.
I'm waiting.
I'm Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale, president of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills.
I'm a morning zoo DJ, and now a joke or two before our groaners.
And I'm banker to the Clampets, especially Granny. Uh-huh.
Ellen DeGeneres was at the Emmy Awards last night. Of course, the only red carpet she was interested in seeing belonged to Deborah Messing. Hello.
That's a good one. I like that.
This is Scott Shannon with the countdown.
I'm Milburn Drysdale, and I'm going to keep talking like that because I like the first one.
Last week, number four. This week, number three. Star Jones was approached by HBO executives at the Emmys last night. They want her to do a reality show called Curb Your Appetite.
All right.
And now to the groaners.
Oh, now to the groaners?
Now to the groaners.
Hello. I'm Michael Scott Shannon, detective and morning zookeeper.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
Come on, Mike. It's the first show of our fall season.
I'm Milburn.
It's the first show of the fall season. And I'll tell you, these are two completely lame groaners, but you know what you're going to love about them?
I'm Milburn Drysdale.
They both are Juan related.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. All right. I'm Milburn Drysdale. Then I'll give it the old college.
Hello.
For Granny.
I'm Scott Shannon.
I'm Milburn Drysdale.
Where do trendy Mexicans shop for imported gifts and home furnishings? Pier One. And, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Who are you?
I'm Milburn Drysdale.
I could not hear you. This is DJ Scott Shannon.
And I'm president of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills, Mil Drysdale.
Hi, Mil.
Hi.
What do most Mexican people order when they go to a Chinese restaurant? Wonton soup.
Hey now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Wow.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hello.
Hey there, Julia.
Hello.
Hi there, too. And
hi.
Rob Thing.
True story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
We're all back.
Yeah, we're here.
Isn't that nice?
It is.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Line One and all the shit to see. Back after two beautiful weeks together in Haiti, Don Geronimo and Mike.
Thank you, Robbie. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Don and Mike Show. New episode. We're back on this Monday.
Monday.
Monday. 09-20-04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz, and hi, thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show. We're back after a couple of weeks of repeats. This is new. It's September 20th, 20-04.
Any hurricanes today?
Not today, although they're coming up. They're coming up. The J1 and the K1. Mm-hmm. Call us from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636 from Canada and from Mexico. 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. So we've been gone 2 weeks. Yeah, 1067.
Yeah, I got one on the brain now.
We've been gone 2 weeks. I'd love to start by telling you about the vacation, which was really, I don't have a lot of great stories because it was, and I have to be careful how I say this.
Yes.
I want to say the most relaxing vacation I've ever had as an adult.
Incredible.
Congratulations.
Happened on the previous vacation that we just
took. Well, that's what they're supposed to be.
That's
completely relax.
That's right. Let me also say that my lovely wife happened to be in a foreign country for nearly all of the vacation time. It was a weird coincidence.
The
schedules worked out.
You two basically enjoyed separate vacations.
It wasn't planned that way.
Sure.
She made the plan to go to Italy with her mother, who's 80, to go painting or eating, whatever it is they were doing over there.
Painting and eating.
Or eating paint. Thank you, Buzz. As it turns out, the schedule got turned around. Uh-huh. We were here. We were supposed to be gone. And anyway, it was just blissfully relaxing, and I'll tell you about the courtship of Eddie's father 2 weeks that I had a couple of minutes.
I know many married couples that enjoy separate vacations on a semi-regular basis.
Well, I don't know. See, here's the fact.
Because it keeps them, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Brilliant.
I don't know. I do know this.
Yeah, I see fish.
You play that for no particular reason.
Yeah, just because we're back.
Right.
I want you to know, I have a lot of things to say about it. I have a lot of thoughts about this because for a couple of weeks, I actually lived in that fantasy world that no man ever wants to discuss.
Right.
The fantasy world that no man who's married ever even wants to give a second. But what would it be like, really, if you were able to live in your own house?
I'll discuss it.
With your own belongings.
Yeah.
And I didn't do anything.
I had to live it. That was more.
I didn't do anything exotic. Well, I'll tell you more.
I could write a novel on it.
I'll tell you more. And it's not like it was just alone in my house for the whole 2 weeks.
Can I say that it's all that it's cracked up to be?
I fortunately was alone in my house the whole 2 weeks. I did socialize with some of the people who work here, and I'll tell you about that. Listen, we've all got stuff to talk about, but there was a major coup that happened.
Yeah.
Here at the radio station, and conveniently,
do they wait for us to leave for all this stuff to happen?
Mike, I would have to say,
coincidence. Another coincidence.
Yeah. It's not just a coincidence. It's not another coincidence. By the sixth or seventh time it happens,
right,
it becomes an actual trend.
Yes.
All I know is that when we left 2 weeks ago for our end of summer vacay, that poor old Alan was sitting at that desk.
Poor old Alan.
And we get back 2 weeks later, his ass is G-O-N-E.
He's gone.
Ghost.
And I don't mean that he's, like, got some of his stuff in the building. I mean, he's gone. His office has been cleared out. And this coup was I hope that he starts dressing like a dictator, like Manuel Noriega used to. Michael Hughes, you know what? Get yourself one of those Idi Amin costumes and start dressing in a military style.
Well, we should have a nickname for Michael Hughes then. The Pineapple.
Well, let's get one.
Like Manuel Noriega when they used to call him the Pineapple.
All I know is that
Baby Doc.
Two weeks ago, everything was fine.
Saddam.
Because we knew Alan, and frankly, he's a friend. Let me say this. How can I possibly say this? We knew his limitations, and we constantly exploited his limitations to the betterment of you, our radio listeners.
And now he's gone.
And now there's
he's not there anymore.
Now there's a new guy who has the job, and this new guy, of course, like all the new guys, even though he's been around for a while, he'll want to come in and, in essence, let us know that he's in charge.
Well, we're used to that. We've been through regime change.
We sure have. And Alan?
And she's gone!
Well, we don't have one that says he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
That's it. He's gone.
But he was never here.
Here's the thing. Maybe you can relate to this if you've got a job that's not in radio where there's so much turnover. Here's how I read this coup that happened. And I don't think there's any other way to describe what happened.
A coup.
It was a coup that happened while we were out of town.
Coup-coup-ca-choo.
So Alan had the gig. He was the general manager of the station WJFK.
Yep. Yeah, and he had been for quite some long time.
For a couple of years, he had the gig. In essence, and this is the way that I read the situation, I don't know except the memos that I've read and what I know about stuff. I know that Alan left here to go work at one of the Infinity stations in New York, where he's going to be the top sales guy.
Wow.
Now, this has been put out by the coup that's taking over
as a
promotion. Mm-hmm. And it very well may be a promotion.
The Big Apple, sure.
It might be. I don't know. I look at it like this.
Right.
Alan was the manager of a Burger King.
Oh, I love your analogies.
So.
This is great.
Somebody comes to him and says, hey, Alan, here's the deal. You're doing a great job managing this Burger King.
Yes.
We're going to put you in a bigger Burger King.
Yes.
That has even more seating. And rather than being the guy in charge of everything, because it's a bigger Burger King.
Right.
We're going to put you in charge of the French fry machine.
The most important part. The item.
You're going to...
People love the fries.
You are going to be the man in charge of French fries at a much bigger Burger King.
Now, some might say the burgers are the most important part.
No, if you're standing
next to the broiler, but doesn't that kind of take care of itself?
Yeah, or whatever.
Fries are more labor intensive.
Or, Mike, perhaps.
You gotta wait for the beeper to go off, take the fries out.
Perhaps it's the tasty shakes. Mm-hmm. Perhaps they say to him, you're gonna be in charge, you're the milkshake.
Now, that wouldn't be a promotion.
The people that would say the burgers are the most important are the people that make the burgers. We all know.
Yes. Right.
It's the fries.
It's the fries. Mm-hmm. Or maybe make him in charge of the drive-through window.
But anyway, it seems to me when I look at things like that, when I try to take things out of the radio context and look at them in real life.
Yes, to compare.
I think, now, this is like being talked in the hallways about it's a promotion. And it very well may be. I don't understand all the business parts of radio.
Right.
But I do know that if what I've drawn up here is correct, I would think it would be a promotion if the guy who was working at the fry place, the bigger Burger King, if they said, hey, guess what? We got a chance for you to run your own Burger King.
Right.
But it's in a little smaller location.
Sure.
Turn it around.
Yeah.
That way, it's great to be the fry guy because you're no longer the fry guy. Now you're the guy that gets to tell everybody else to make the fries.
That's exactly right.
But what he's done is he's somehow Michael Hughes has now become the manager of this Burger King.
Wow. And he's the manager of a few other Burger Kings, isn't he?
Yeah, and that's one good thing.
An advantage.
This is one good thing. We love this with one of the other general managers we had, Ken Stevens, the late Ken Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
He was de facto. He was never here.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Hughes. He's going to be spread so thin.
Right.
We're not going to be able to see him a lot, which
works great for us.
While he is in this mode of trying to want to show to everybody he's the boss to take control, we'll only have to get him in very small spurts.
Yeah, he won't even be in the building.
Like on Tuesdays and Thursdays, not spurts like that.
Boy, just Tuesdays and Thursdays.
That's what the email that I received.
Oh, it's like a college schedule.
He would try to be in the building on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Well, we'll try to not be in the building then.
Well, it's Monday and we're here and he's not here and
working so far now.
And anyway,
hey guys, Tuesday's Monday.
Good luck to
how are you?
Good luck to Alan.
Well, he's a much more I find it refreshing because we now have a general manager who I can do an impression of. So I'm very happy about that.
Hey, everybody did the impression of Yalen, though.
Everybody did Alan, right.
Hey, Yalen.
Hey, Yalen.
Yalen. Yalen FM.
Hi, guys. There's a new sheriff in town. New sheriff in town.
And just so convenient. I love it that we're on vacation. And, you know, there's generally a rule. You know, unless the barn's on fire, don't call.
Yes.
Well, about midweek, I start getting the calls saying, oh, my God. If, you know, oh, my God.
Right.
Have you heard what's going on here? Have you heard what's...
Oh, my God.
I'm not there. I don't know what's going... Oh, my... And then, you know, I got the call from Alan.
So did I.
And as a matter of fact, I got the call from Alan when I was having dinner with Buzz and Marsha and I had to excuse myself from the meal to go out and, you know, talk with him.
I got the call from Alan when I was watching something really good on TV.
Mm.
So I had to feign, you know, concern.
Brief conversation.
When, no, it was long because I had to be polite.
Uh-huh.
I was raised that way to be polite.
Good for you.
And it was longer than I wanted it to be.
You were raised that way to be polite and then come on.
Well, it was about a half an hour conversation.
I know.
It was much longer. It was roughly, I'll be concerned, 29 minutes longer than I wanted it to be.
Here's the thing with Alan.
Because it was the setup where the whole thing went down and then there was the announcement and then it was like the, you know, we had to talk like we were buddies.
I was just going to bring that up. Alan Linewand is a fine guy.
He is a fine guy. I like Alan a lot.
And I think he's a good man.
Good-hearted man.
Yep. I do mean that in any way that you want to interpret it. However...
I love him.
However, here's the thing. I learned my lesson a long time ago with these guys.
Yeah.
They will stab you in the back at a moment's notice. You're only as
good... Oh, to cover their own butt.
You're only as good as your latest ratings book, and even that, even if that's great, they'll dive into that and find something they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
These guys would never do us a favor unless in some way it helps them.
Sure.
And I think Alan's problem was that... And maybe that's why he's now working fries. Alan's problem was that he genuinely liked all the people,
mm-hmm.
and I think that most everybody knew the way the game was played, that mm-hmm. you don't trust the manager. You're friends with the manager, but...
He may have liked everybody, but he did have one quality that every general manager I've ever worked for, probably you've ever worked for, too, has the same quality. And that quality is, although they work for a major corporation, and they dole out the corporation's money, they have an uncanny ability to treat that money, every dime of it, as if it was coming out of their own pocket.
Well, because that's the way the budget thing works.
That's the way they do it.
So anyway, here's the point with Alan. Alan's a nice guy, a family guy, a really good guy, a straight shooter.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that he's a good acquaintance of mine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, and I don't mean any disrespect towards Alan.
No.
I got burned a long time ago with the general manager. You can never be friends with a general manager because what happened to Alan...
I got to part company with you on the, you know, as far as an acquaintance thing, because really, I'm not going to say that he was like a friend to me. What he was like to me... No, really, what he was like to me was family. He was like family to me.
You are such a liar.
That's the way I felt about him.
Hey, here's
I felt about him like he was a sibling.
For instance, while we're sitting here mourning him.
A twin, if you will.
Speaking of family,
uh-huh. I'll say this.
Here's a great Alan quote, though. Recently,
mm-hmm.
Within the last 3 or 4 months, when he was still sitting at his Oz chair, one day when he was very mad at me about something that didn't run, a commercial that didn't run or something, he called me in and started screaming at me and said, "This is my family." Meaning the commercial.
Yeah.
Right.
You are taking food out of my family's mouth when you don't play the commercials on time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't get what a friend would get from another friend. Like,
no.
Like, hey, pal, you're killing me. You got to play the commercials on time.
Right, right.
But what I mean is, in that moment when he could have been sensitive and open, it was the real Al.
Right. You know? If he had said that to me, I would have said, well, that's like taking food out of my mouth because we're like family.
I'll say this.
here are some words from his best friend,
man who knew him
at the radio station. Here's the one who's the most unhappy about
his
this.
Biggest supporter.
I'll say this about Alan Linewand.
What?
He had his points.
Wow.
Anyway, that's what everybody at this radio station is talking about. And I think it's ridiculous that no one's addressing this on the air. And I'd like to just to say to all the employees that are very upset, don't worry.
Relax.
That he won't start firing people for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Be cool.
Yes.
Try to get your work together in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
What you've done previously doesn't matter. If you show that you're willing
right.
to kiss ass now.
You're on board now.
What you got to
do... Can I say this, then, before you start on this? I want to say it before anybody else has a chance to. The first time I met Michael Hughes, I felt like I was talking to a family member.
Okay. But, Mike, you've got the heart of gold.
I do.
You have felt that way about
Every superior I've ever had.
You love everybody. You loved Randy Bongard.
Okay. Oh, you found the right one.
Ouch. Yeah, I know.
He was like the other. See, he was like the other.
So anyway, I would just like to reassure people here at the station that we're back now from vacation, which means there's no need to worry.
No.
We're in control. Hey, Colette?
Yes?
Hey, it's Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
Listen, no need to worry what with Alan and the French fry thing, because we're back now.
Okay.
We're in charge again of the station.
Everything's fine. Everything's going to be okay.
We're real sorry that they moved around those people while we were gone.
Oh, okay.
Is there any truth to the rumor that Alan's things were moved out onto the street in the middle of the night?
No.
Mike?
Really?
You don't even want to know.
Really?
No, it was not. Hey, Colette.
Yes?
How much do you know?
I don't know anything.
Correct answer.
All right. Bye. Goodbye, baby love.
Bye.
Goodbye.
You hear a little laugh at the other?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm speaking about stuff I don't know anything about.
It's a funny sidebar to the entire story.
Just want
to
say, you tread on my brother, you tread on me.
Mm-hmm.
Here.
Can't be told on
him. He had his point.
He did.
So everybody just watch out. There's a new sheriff in town.
That's right.
And his name is Manuel Hughes.
Manuel Hughes. Baby Doc.
We're ready to kick some ass.
You know, seriously, not Baby Doc. You know what works?
What?
The Doctor. May we hereby dub him the Doctor?
The Doctor.
And if anyone can get from that movie, The Burbs, you know, when the guy introduces him as my brother, the Doctor.
That is an obscure movie.
A very
that
obscure movie.
With Tom Hanks.
But he says a lot of times, may I present the Doctor?
Well, I would say let's
Dr.
compromise.
Michael Hughes.
Let's compromise. I like Baby Doc.
Baby Doc?
I like Baby Doc
right.
A lot.
Doc Hughes.
We've got to get him.
I just, when he pops in, I'd like to say, hey, Doc.
We've got to get him that look. We've got to get him that, it's almost like an olive-colored military outfit.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get him the pointy hat.
What would really be great, and it would be a little more generic, is like a Dr. Evil outfit.
What? Right.
An olive green.
How about an olive green Nehru jacket?
Yes.
I think he has to be military, though.
Baby Doc.
Maybe he has a
Castro hat.
He's got to maybe have like some spaghetti, or not spaghetti, some scrambled eggs up on the on the brim of his hat.
Il Duce.
If not a helmet.
we call him Duce.
Baby Doc. Listen, whatever name sticks.
Okay.
We'll go with
I'll be
it.
Lobbying strong for the Doctor.
I like Baby Doc.
Baby Doc, I'll settle for Baby Doc.
I like them both. But I think something will naturally happen.
Right.
Something usually does happen.
Well, you know, maybe we'll ask Doc Hughes what he thinks.
Baby Doc.
Baby Doc Hughes.
Baby Doc. Let's see. Who can we call first for some immediate feedback?
Well, who would be most affected by this?
It's called the program director, Cameron Gray.
He's fun.
Who's that?
What's that now? You know what about
him again?
Cameron has his points.
He does.
Hold on. Where would he be listening? Oh, under D for Dead Man Walking.
It's written in longhand on the list. I don't think they actually updated to put his number on it.
Cameron Gray.
Cameron Gray.
The program. I can't find his.
It's not on there? No.
You know, that's not a good sign for him.
Oh, there it is.
872. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Any phone?
Well, that tells you a lot right there.
Bad sign.
Oh, I just called him the wrong line.
Oh. All right, it's all right.
Let's find out what he thinks. He's hiding.
That's Cameron.
Hey, Cameron, it's Don and Mike.
Hey.
So, how you feeling?
Well rested.
Oh, good.
Turn down your radio.
Well rested. Did you have a vacation, too?
No.
Oh.
Turn down your radio.
It's down.
So, can you tell us, Cameron, how this move at the top is affecting you thus far?
Thus far, it is not. We'll see what happens in the future.
We'll see what happens. You said you're well rested. Why would that be?
I'm being facetious. It was a long weekend in New York.
Oh, a long weekend. Oh, that's right. You were up there for the big game.
Who won?
Rob.
That's right. The Reds.
Patriots.
Well, let me just say, as we mark the passing of Alan Line 1 here, at least as far as this radio station goes, what's your best Alan Line 1 moment? Would you consider him a friend, an acquaintance?
Family?
Those yet?
Like mine?
Honestly, I would consider him a very good friend.
Very good friend. Do you have a particular moment that you'd like to share in our Alan Limewan retrospective?
Well, it's a little gay, I'll admit, but I went. We had the managers' meetings in the Bahamas.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
and it was fun.
But I had just gotten the job, and I didn't know any of these suits here at Infinity.
Alan invited you into his room
with his hard shoes
after the jacuzzi.
And I was walking around all day, all by myself on Sunday because I knew nobody. And at the end of the day, we had this big Infinity dinner, and there was Alan, and we embraced, and it was very good to see someone familiar.
Oh, yes. That's so sweet.
Can I tell you mine?
Yes.
Here's mine. It happened back in February, around the time of the Janet Jackson incident. And I remember getting a call from Alan, and he said, "Hi, Don, it's Yalen." I said, "Hi, Yalen." He said, "You might be fired, but either way, you guys are suspended without pay for 2 weeks. Now please talk to the lawyer."
I've got one.
What's yours, Mike?
I think it might have been around the same time when I got a call, an early morning call from Alan Limewan, and he said, "Hi, Mike, this is Alan. I'm here with corporate counsel." And that was just a special moment.
Rob? I have one that actually involves the three of us.
Really?
December 13th of last year, when he didn't provide enough parking for us to go to the Christmas party, and we drove a mile away and then called him we weren't coming.
That's a winner.
And he tried to talk us into coming, and you guys said, "Maybe next year."
Yeah.
Forget it! I'm halfway home! Not Christmas party, holiday party.
Holiday party.
Well, Cameron, how is the staff reacting to this incredible turn at the top?
You weren't here for the initial reaction. I think people have settled down and are used to it, and there's a new occupant in that office now, so I think he is missed, but it's business as usual yet again.
Who has the cursed office now?
Dave Howard, sales manager extraordinaire.
Mm.
Dave Howard?
Dave Howard.
Yeah.
Well, let me just
say this. Dave Howard?
The tall guy.
Is he the tall guy that doesn't golf?
That's him. But this is the really good news. Is guess who got Dave Howard's old office?
Who?
Mr. Paul Gorgie.
No! Let me just say this.
No, that sucks!
Let me say this. This is the beginning. Mike, I know you're mad that Paul Gorgie got a nice office.
I am pissed.
But this is the beginning of a great time at Infinity Radio.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
No, anything goes well for Gorgie.
Because the man that you like, the man that you think of as family,
yes,
is our new manager.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. Absolutely. And that would be Baby Doc Hughes.
Baby Doc Hughes.
Very excited about that. And, I mean, you know, I'm happy for Paul Gorgie. Paul Gorgie and I are like brothers.
Uh-huh. And Cameron,
we share a gambling problem.
Does it seem to you that Michael Hughes might be a little more concerned about details that Alan maybe glossed over, like a crappy you're doing in your job?
Yes, yes. He's talked to me that many times, and I'm on shaky ground.
All right. And incidentally, when I mentioned Paul Gorgie and the gambling problem, let's not leave Cameron Gray out also. I think the three of us all share a wonderful...
Oh, Cameron, who's got the casino up in his office.
Yes, wonderful.
Don't play anytime.
Absolutely, Cameron.
You might want to clean that out before Baby Doc gets here.
He's seen it. He plays the slot machine.
Oh, see, everybody plays the slot machine.
Yeah.
Joe won right before our vacation.
Yeah.
Forget it!
Joe came down, you know,
"I got all sorts of quarters. I'm going to have to give it all back, though."
Real excited about it.
All right, Cameron, so...
nice work with you guys. God bless.
All right, see you.
Good luck to you, Cameron. Keep in touch.
Bye.
That is our lead story today.
Yeah, I'm going to miss Cameron. He's like a brother to me.
Don't know. Mike, Cameron is still here.
Oh.
Cameron has the job. It's Alan.
Yes.
That got the promotion, and it's Michael Hughes that got
the job.
Yeah, that's it.
Promotion. The promotion.
That's right.
The fry. Take upstairs.
To the fry machine.
Right.
The big fry machine.
It's a longer commute now, isn't it?
Yeah, they shipped them all the way to New York. When we come back, oh gosh, man, let me just say, beware of what you wish for. If you wish to have a real radio show with real guests, mm-hmm. sometimes it's the wrong day. Because mm-hmm. today we've just got too much stuff happening. Really? We have guests today. We have the grandmother of Britney Spears' first husband coming on the show today.
That's tremendously exciting.
Britney Spears got married again, and nutty billionaire Mark Cuban will be on.
MHD guru.
Yeah. And he's got this Donald Trump-like show. Anyway, he's coming on, I think, in the next break. So we have to break.
Wow.
We have to break right. Oh, but hold on. Breaking news. Hmm? The 839-pound guy from New York is on the phone. Larry.
Yes.
Now, is this the guy that I said...
Yeah, you bet money with.
Yes, he did.
Set up an incentive for Larry. Mm-hmm. He weighed, I don't know, 900 pounds, something like that. And I said for every... Oh, Rob's got to look it up.
Well,
over a year,
ten.
I pay him $10 per pound.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
Okay, Larry, how much did you weigh in the beginning?
839.
What are you down to now?
735.
Oh my God!
Wow, that's
over 100 pounds. That's fantastic. That's nearly $500 you owe him.
How are you doing, Larry?
That's over $500. 100 pounds times 10 is 1,000.
He's kidding you.
I think
Larry's aware of the money, Rob.
Now, Larry, I just want to say I'm proud of you. You know, now you've got to keep it off for a year and lose even more.
You didn't tell me all that.
No. I mean, you've got to wait. You've got to wait a year. What was the bet?
I believe
you didn't say that. That wasn't in the bet.
I believe you said by the end of the year you would pay him $10 for every pound that he lost.
Oh, well, then fine. Then if that's the end
of this year.
If that's where the time frame is, I'm cool with that. I just forgot the details. Well, good. Then, Larry, listen, don't blow it now. You got 3 months. Lose a lot more weight.
How are you feeling, Larry?
I feel good. I feel real good.
You know,
my ice cream.
You miss it?
I feel great. I just lost an incredible amount of weight. I just had a boil removed from my ass.
Wow.
His name is Alan Linewine.
Here you go. Hey, that's my brother you're talking about.
Oh, but you know, it's hard work, no sense dedication, and since you ain't getting no real help.
Well,
the people that, you know what I'm saying, that you turn to, you know, is doing naturally and due to Crunch Gym and, you know, Tiny, you know.
Are you working hard, Larry?
Am I working hard, but you know what I'm saying? The system's like trying to hold me back for not losing it, not giving me the things that I need, like a wheelchair and stuff. So I got to work extra hard.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should call Oprah about a wheelchair. But I'll tell you this, that charity's not our bag, but we did come across you in the news. And Larry, I am a man of my word. End of the year,
yes.
Come Christmas time, whatever it is that you've dropped, I'll give you cash. So keep it up, be inspired, and know that I am your Oprah Winfrey.
How many more pounds do you think you can lose by December, Larry?
I'm going for 200 before December.
200 wow. before December.
Make it happen, Larry. I can't give you a car, but I can give you some money.
All right,
dude.
You have a nice day.
Okay, keep it together,
keep
Larry.
Keep up the good work.
Bye-bye, Larry. See you later.
Now, I don't think your original plan is going to work, though, because he might not accept it. Since he's so absorbed with the details, he's probably not going to accept what you were going to originally plan on giving him.
Which was?
Chick-fil-A coupon. It's probably not going to work.
So that's good for that guy. That guy's lost
pretty
a lot
incredible.
Of weight.
He sounds lighter.
That's good.
He doesn't sound as light as the first time he called us. That's the very true. First time we talked to him.
And I'm going to need some type of proof, some type of doctor's documentation.
Of course.
You know, but
I think you're going to have to, get together with him and do the glove test.
Who says we don't do good? Don and Mike's angels, like Oprah's mm-hmm. angels, and
sure.
boy, if that's just not a pisser. Hey, listen, girlfriend, you want to make everybody in the world that does a radio show or a TV show look bad?
She did.
Why don't you just come out and
she trumped the world.
Just give away a car. And then did you see the film of the women humping the cars in the parking lots?
But you have to, and it's the first time I think I've ever said this.
Yeah, I know.
There, you have to give Oprah credit. She took everything from everybody
mm-hmm. I know.
That does this for a living. You know, she's ruined it for anybody, any radio station, any TV show, certainly Regis and Kelly.
We have to break because Mark Cuban's coming up, but I want to tell you that Beth Ann heard about that. Our producer, Beth mm-hmm. Ann McBride, entering her second quarter now with the show.
Wow. Isn't that wonderful?
She's been with us over 3 months. We were in contact over vacation. I said, do you believe that Oprah thing? And she said, a car for an entire studio audience? When you come back from vacation.
Oh, so glad that survived the vacation.
That man said to me, you'll have something incredible, and darn if she's not right.
What do we got?
We have tickets for the Alden Brothers.
Wow.
Okay. Who needs a car?
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Here, I finally graduated.
Yeah, and just a shade under a decade, too. All right.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
The Don and Mike Show.
Sanitize for your protection. Yeah. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Beatles break.
I was alone and I took a ride.
I'm glad to be back from vacation.
Right.
I like being on the radio. I still like it. I still like it. I like it a lot. Ooh, and when we get some stuff from the networks, ooh, we got a, what is it, 1, 2, 3, ABC, this is termed loosely.
What is it?
Celebrities, ABC celebrities cut us taglines promoting their upcoming fall shows.
We submitted 18, and they honored us with 3.
We wanted, of course, the great king of all television, James Belushi.
Of course.
Did we get Belushi? We
did not.
And by the way, isn't it a crime last night that Emmy ignored Jim Belushi?
I can't believe that. I'll no longer watch the Emmys.
We did get this from Mitch Albom, who is a guy who is a sports writer.
Isn't it the like Saturdays with Maury or something?
Something like that, yeah. Oh. Anyway, here he is.
Tuesdays with Maury.
Here he is.
Hi, Mitch Albom here, the writer of the upcoming TV movie, The Five People You Meet in Heaven. Look for it on ABC in December. Here are two guys that you'll never meet in heaven, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Yeah, he cared. Then there's...
God, throw that away.
Then there's this one from Felicity Huffman.
Ah.
Hi, this is Felicity Huffman from...
Although I do think she read it as we wrote it. Okay, because some of these we wrote, like, get bent on.
I see.
Just at the end, people should tell us to get bent.
Okay.
I think she did.
Hi, this is Felicity Huffman from Desperate Housewives on ABC. And listening to the Don and Mike show changed my life, but not for the better. So, Don and Mike, get bent.
Well, what is with the editing of that?
I don't know. And then
do they have to, like, chop it up that bad?
Here's one from Mark Cuban. We're going to have him on the show right now.
Hi, this is Mark Cuban from ABC Television's The Benefactor. And I am nuts. I'm nuts about Don Geronimo and Michael Mira. It's a Don and Mike show, a proud member of the Westwood One family.
Ah, you know what?
Right. He did it in a phony way that I like.
He read it the right way, and here he is now. Mark Cuban.
You like that?
Yeah, I like it.
Hey, good job.
We knew you didn't care, but you just did it right. I mean, we know you don't care, but you did it in a nice way.
I love the Don and Mike show.
Here he is now.
Mark Cuban, the benefactor, and I love the Don and Mike show.
All right, you know, he's a nutty billionaire.
Uh-huh.
He's got the Dallas Mavericks. We can talk about that. He's got HDNet.
He's got HDNet, which I watch all the time.
And now
cool. Isn't it awesome?
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. And now he's got The Benefactor, which is on, I should mention, tonight before football, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central.
I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about bikini destinations.
They go hand in hand. Bikinis tonight.
Yeah.
See, if you have HDTV, and everybody in this room at least does, you get this guy Mark Cuban's network, HDNet,
right,
which shows, you know, you get an amazing amount of people coming over and you watch fish swimming.
Beautiful things in high def.
Because it's one of the only ways, sports is another great way to show how great high def really is.
Well, he has hockey on HDNet, and I think it's the best way to watch hockey on TV.
Oh, absolutely. When you can watch hockey, or next time you can watch hockey.
Mm-hmm. So you are a nutty billionaire.
Yep, I'm proud of it.
You own the Dallas Mavericks. You get fined by the NBA all the time for being crazy, for being down on the floor. You built your guys like little mini mansions in the locker rooms, really, where they all have plasma TVs.
Sure.
And they've all got their own private whatever it is that they want. Why do this show? Why do The Benefactor? You got everything else going on, dude.
Yeah, but I just do things for fun, for the same reasons I did all those other things. Why buy the Mavs, you know? Why wrestle on WWE? Why, you know, why sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at Wrigley Field? Why play basketball for the New York Nationals against the Harlem Globetrotters? I mean, I don't want to be 90 years old and think, God, that would have been so much fun. You know, some people think, you know, if you make a lot of money, you should just go live on the beach and travel. And, you know, I've done those things, but it's a lot more fun to just try something different.
Mark, I watched The Benefactor last week. Now, you're going to get the comparisons to The Apprentice, and it's not like The Apprentice, because first off, your hair, if anything, I'll say your hair looks like Herman Munster's.
Oh, but, you're killing me.
But it's not as bad as Donald Trump's.
No way, not anywhere near. Way.
And the format, like all these reality shows, you know, they're kind of the same, but they're really not the same. That basically what Mark Cuban is saying is someone's going to win $1 million, but you don't have to, like, sell lemonade. On the episode I saw last week, the one that they sent us on tape, what's the game with the pieces of wood? That
Jenga.
Jenga.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where you stack things up, right?
Exactly.
So he gets all of these type A people together in a room, you know, with him with a crazy Herman Munster look, and he's got and he's got that.
You mean that only in the best possible way?
Yeah, I do. I'm a fan.
Much love, I know.
Mark, I'm a fan, really. And he's got that not quite Tom Arnold, but that kind of manic, let's go now thing about him.
Right.
And he gets all these people in the room and he says, now one of you, here's a chance to win $1 million and here's how we're going to do it. We're going to play this game.
Well, you know, because it was such, to win Jenga where you're stacking the blocks, you got to be cool, right?
Right.
If your hands shake at all, it's all over. And that's what made it so great for the show, because $1 million on the line, game of Jenga, national TV. I thought the two, Grayson and William, I thought they'd be shaking like a leaf, because I would be shaking like a leaf.
You know, my only memory of a Jenga is the Sports Center commercial where they had Jenga with Kenny Mayne was playing Jenga with it. That's the one time I remember.
Yeah.
It was one of those great Sports Center ads.
Yeah. On the show The Benefactor, they had a girl, kind of a mousy girl, and a guy, a fat guy like us,
mm-hmm.
who was just trash talking her, and the whole time that she would be, you know, it got down to, I guess you did editing, but they would take 10 minutes to decide which piece they're going to pull out this little
pie. Yeah, because that's the game, and it can collapse the whole structure.
And the fat guy would be sitting there going, how you feeling?
You missed half of it too, the stuff we couldn't even show.
Oh,
he was terrible. I was ready to just knock him out.
Hold on, he's terrible, but he won.
Wait, but I had to be fair.
Yes.
You know what? I set the test. I knew exactly what I was looking for. And even though one was a hot girl, I wasn't going to, you know, I was going to keep the integrity of the game.
What is the ultimate payoff on your show? What is it? What is going to be? What is it?
$1 million.
$1 million. And that's at the end of the line, one person is going to walk away with $1 million.
$1 million to do whatever they want with. Mm-hmm.
And you, what is a typical day like? And the show, I'll plug it again. Tonight, before Monday Night Football on ABC.
And it gets crazy. Wait, let me just tell you, it gets crazy tonight. Last time it was all inside the house, like you saw. This time the test is you get 3 hours of my time, and you can do anything you want with me, anything. The only rule is don't waste my time. No. And they get even.
Wow. Oh, so they abuse you a little bit?
A little bit, yeah, more than a little bit. I mean, the word Jägermeister seems to come back.
Oh, the devil horn.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-oh, watch out.
Oh, and then when it's all said and done, I go to cut. I put them in teams. I go to cut one of the teams. And rather than cutting the whole team, I bring them in and I set them down in front of 3 9-year-olds. And they just get grilled to hell by these 9-year-olds. And, you know, you can't fool a kid.
That's worth watching right there.
How great is it being Mark Cuban?
There's nothing better, man. You know what? Someone said to me, you know, when I die, I want to come back as you. And I said to him, when I die, I want to come back as me.
Oh, yeah. I'm so jealous of guys that say that. But,
heard that before.
Hey, if it's true, it's true.
Yeah. So when you... What's a typical day? I mean, your TV show is on tonight. Your basketball team won't play for a while. You've got your HD net. What'd you do today? I mean, are you doing interviews with schmucks like us, or did you do some fun rich guy stuff today?
No, I mean, I do the same stuff I've been doing forever. I get up. I did some interviews today, but typical day is I'll get up. I'll get on my computer, and I'll just start cranking through the emails that come just from various people, but more importantly, from the people from my businesses. So rather than having to go into the office or offices, then everybody knows, just send me emails, and I'll get right back to them. So I don't have to return phone calls. I don't have to mess with meetings. I just spend the first 4 hours just cranking through emails.
If I can digress from the discussion of your TV show, The Benefactor, and ask you about HDNet, because I know it's important to everybody on this show.
Oh, yeah, that's where I spend 70% of my time.
We watch it all the time, and as somebody who is a big fan of high-definition television, I'd like to know, how is that going? Because I think the one concern people that are into HD, high-definition TV, they want to know, you know, is this thing going to, you know, be widespread anytime soon? I mean, how is that progressing? That's my number one question.
High-def television and HDNet both are just kicking ass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, people were concerned. When I first got into it 3 years ago, it was like, oh, the TVs are too expensive and it's never going to take off, yada, yada. What's happened now is the price points of high-def televisions, you can buy a 27-inch 4x3, which isn't the best, but it still works for you know, $499, under $500. And the price points keep on falling.
You know, that money is to you, though, Mark. That's toilet paper to you.
Well, you know what? It's for a 27-inch, great, the best top-of-the-line TV. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's livable.
Anybody ever it told is. You got private pile eyes?
What?
You know, you ever seen Full Metal Jacket?
You mean crazy eyes?
Yeah.
You think he's got the crazy eyes?
I know he's got the crazy
eyes. Mark, do you use the crazy eyes to your advantage in business?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll definitely try to.
Excellent.
See through somebody.
The one thing I was going to ask you though about HD, are we going to get more stations, more available?
Yeah.
You know, especially everything. Like on a thing like DirecTV, are we going to get more stations on HD?
Yeah, you're already starting on DirecTV. You're already starting to see more. They're up to 10.
Right.
They're going to keep on adding more over the next 18 months.
Oh, very good.
How much has the NBA fined you?
$1 million.
$1 million, and this is for you complaining about refs calls,
referees, everything. You name it. Yeah. And you remember, I got fined, and I had to do that whole Dairy Queen thing.
Oh, yes, I do, right. You had to go to Dairy
Queen.
Crazy.
Well, I got fined because I said that the head of the officials couldn't manage a Dairy Queen. And then Dairy Queen said, well, if it's so easy, you come and do it. And I did. But the key moment there is I got fined $500,000 because I said this guy was terrible. Well, guess what that guy is doing now?
What?
He's the assistant to the assistant football coach at East Bloomsburg State, a Division II school. So he's getting, you know, those fines may be expensive, but they've paid off, and I think are for the better of the NBA.
The one thing I will
say, baby,
when the whole Kobe thing started, and you got a lot of bad press for this, I don't know if you guys...
I remember this. Yeah.
I came on that day and said, Mark Cuban is the only one who is speaking honestly about this. Because, like, the day it was announced, and you have to go back to a year ago,
yep.
Mark Cuban said, hey, this is great for basketball. Who's not going to want to watch Kobe Bryant? And if I'm not mistaken, his first game was against the Mavericks, right?
Yeah, and we set ratings records.
Mm-hmm. And it continues to be, and it has continued to be, probably the number one sports story
now,
of the year.
Has anybody ever bothered to come to you to say, hey, listen, dude, incidentally, even though you got the Herman Munster hair and the crazy eyes, you were absolutely right about that Kobe thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, people have. And actually, some people have even written some stories saying I was right. Because, you know, it's a terrible thing what happened. And it, you know, everybody wishes it would not have happened. But, you know, reality is reality, whether it's a TV show or whether it's, you know, media just doing their job. And when you talk about something that much, it's going to create more interest, and that much interest is going to jack up the ratings.
Well, if I remember correctly, you weren't making any judgment calls. You were just stating the reality of the situation.
Act of television, mm-hmm. Yeah, what happens with ratings.
It would be good for your business, which is the NBA. Now, listen, Steve Nash, is he staying, going, what?
He's gone, yeah, he's gone. Phoenix.
We went to Phoenix? Went back to Phoenix.
Took the money.
So who's your big off-season acquisition?
We picked up Eric Dampier from the Golden State Warriors to be our center, and we picked up Jason Terry to be our new point guard to take his place. Devin Harris was the number 5 pick in the draft as our backup point guard, and then we also picked up Jerry Stackhouse.
Well, be careful of that guy.
Yeah, I got him under control.
Now, here's the thing. When a guy gets a job on the Dallas Mavericks, and Mike, I know you don't know a lot about not that I'm an NBA expert, but right. I do know the locker room that you guys have is incredible. Tell us what it's like for a guy in your locker room if they play for the Mavericks.
Well, I try to make it kind of like the studio where you guys work in.
We work
in crap.
You know, the better stuff you guys have, the better job you do, right?
No.
You guys scream and moan for better stuff, and in the case of you guys, you don't get it. In the case of our guys, they get it.
So tell me about the carpeting, the television, the whirlpools.
We trick it out because I want them to be ready to play. So they've got their own little stereo system. They've got PlayStation. They've got their own little LCD screen so they can watch TV or watch DVDs. So, you know, coaches put together special DVDs for scouting the people they're defending. All the above, so that when they get ready for a game, they don't have any excuses.
And they travel pretty well, too, right?
Yeah, we've got our own 757, and they've got these special chairs for 7 foot.
I saw that one time. In fact, that might have been on HDNet where you put that on, where
exactly.
That you showed the type of where they're custom chairs for tall guys.
Any chance you'd like to buy Infinity Broadcasting?
You know what? My guy was Mel. Both my guys that I knew, Mel and Fareed, left.
Oh, yeah, well.
That's right. They're gone now.
Listen, and, you know, we're on around the country. In Dallas, where you live, we're on at midnight, but it's Sacramento we're on right now.
Oh, very cool. And go Mavs.
Now, come on.
He's a pistol.
Now, be honest. The crowd in Sacramento, is that the loudest crowd in the league outside of your crowd?
Not. You know what? The thing about Sacramento is that the building's so small that it makes everything twice as loud. They've got great crowds in Sacramento, but I think ours can be as loud. And
what would you do different if you owned the Kings? If you ran the Kings, what would you do different?
Nothing. I think the Maloofs do a great job. I really, really do.
Come on, play into this for me.
No, I mean, I like Joe and Gavin. I mean, maybe get better looking cheerleaders. I don't know.
He had to get one in.
That's all we wanted.
And you know, seriously, because you alluded to it before. I believe my favorite show on HDNet does premiere tonight, right? Bikini Destinations.
Oh yeah, and it's going to get better too. We're going to have an R-rated version.
Oh, hello. Oh,
yeah, we're going to do a lot of HD VOD too, with all the good stuff. I'll tell you the show you've got to watch, and
what's
I forget the date it's going to be on. Bloody Midget Wrestling. I tell you no lie. That is it. It started off just as regular midget wrestling because we wanted something crazy for Halloween. And it just got bloody.
These
little people, I mean, I want to be politically correct.
Sure.
They just beat the hell out of each other.
I mean, you know, and that's in high def.
In high def, the blood is real. It is crazy.
Oh, wow. Mark, good luck with the benefactor, which is on tonight. Either way, hold on. I want to, if you wouldn't mind, give your number to Beth Ann. You're crazy. I'd like to talk to you more often. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Sure, my pleasure. Hey, all right. So I'll just give you my email, mark@hd.net. That's the easiest way to get a hold of me.
Okay,
M-A-R-K at hd.net, and that's okay if it goes over the air.
Wow, you're gonna get a few emails.
Oh, that's okay.
You can write to me at scatlover.com.
Stop the behavior.
All right, thanks,
all right,
Mark.
Go
Mark Cuban. See you later.
We'll talk about it when it's on.
Good, right, Mark. Look forward.
We'd love to. Bye, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, bye. Here he is, Mark Cuban. You know what I like about that guy, besides the fact that he looks like Herman Munster with the crazy eyes and he's rich?
Right.
He only talked about the benefactor for about 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, you know, and really, the benefactor, as far as, you know, we're all into it, but he's got so many other things going. It's,
yeah.
He does have the crazy eyes, though.
And if there's any reason to watch the show, The Benefactor, which, like, I was trying to be polite and loose.
Well, I like the fact that 9-year-olds are going to make the decision.
That's good. It's a bad imitation of The Apprentice, but if for no other reason, you should watch it just to watch him.
Yeah, because he is the, and you aced it with the Tom Arnold. He has that manic energy,
and he's got
that's totally legit because I've seen him a bunch of times.
And the crazy eyes,
right?
So anyway, there is Mark Cuban.
How did he make his money? I mean, how did he make his original fortune? I know it wasn't in HDNet and it wasn't in basketball.
I'm pretty sure he was a .com guy.
I think he was a computer guy.
I think he was one of those guys.
I thought it was cigars.
Yes, Cuban cigars.
Johnny, you're John Norman. Hi, Johnny. Who? How did he do it?
Broadcast.com.
Oh.
Broadcast.com.
Really?
Sold that.
Really?
Wow.
All that.
So jealous.
Yeah. All that, and still he's got like a worse haircut than I have.
Yeah, doesn't need a good haircut.
Doesn't matter. I guess not.
He doesn't have a worse haircut than me.
That's true, Mike. That's true, Curly.
I got attacked today.
Look at Mike from the back.
You know, I want to say one thing about my haircut. Mm-hmm. All right, when I said leave it long in the back, that apparently translated to the opposite.
You got
to
learn
in
how to
Chinese.
Speak Vietnamese or whatever it was. Turn around, Mike, and show these guys your head and tell me if it doesn't look like curly hair Howard's head. Look at that.
Oh,
look how shaved the back of Mike's neck is.
Shaved with that little black spot in the dent.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
This is perfect.
So how much do they charge at the In Remission Barber?
$11.
$11
haircut. Yeah, it's an $11 haircut.
Oh, like when my dad used to take my brother and I to the barber college.
I went to the barber college.
Wow. Maybe it'll grow in nice.
I got hurt.
Got a break. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Fresh corn on the cob is irresistible, especially at Safeway's low prices. This week we got Washington grown, Canada number one corn on the cob. Value priced at 3 cobs for 88 cents. Doing it right, giving you more, we're fucking alive. Sorry about this, I didn't know it was... Goddamn Whitey produced f***ing commercials never come out the right way. Okay, Safeway's got everything. It's 88 cents for the corn and everything you need for a super summer barbecue. Charcoal, starter, napkins, and paper plates at Brockett Safeway.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
You
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right.
Oh, God. Place is falling apart.
Things are falling as we speak.
Give us a moment.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Right.
They always play the tired card. Don and Mike.
We try. Okay, we're back.
Is everything functioning now?
Do you have any video over there? Video.
Video. Yes, I got the video.
Okay, good.
I've got the video.
That's video.
How are you anyhow?
And a little thing we call turning Japanese.
Video.
Or Mike's haircut.
Video. Rob, can I have some romantic music, please?
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting.
Well, Mike, I would be remiss if I didn't. It's an annual ritual to read your birthday card on the air.
Yes.
And I was blessed enough to make it through my 46th birthday.
Congratulations.
On Saturday.
Right, of course.
And it came in today, and everybody had nice stuff for me, you know, cards and booze. Can I
just say that usually I get two cards. I get one that's just kind of funny and one that's not really funny. It's just a decent birthday card. This time I got you one that I really meant.
So this morning,
nice.
And you're funny, because this morning I called Mike to talk about...
I was proud of my thoughtfulness.
We were talking about Alan getting his French fry promotion,
mm-hmm.
And Mike said, now keep in mind my birthday was Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Mike said, hey, I wanted you to know I didn't forget your birthday.
Exactly, and I remembered it all by myself.
And I said...
I remembered to, you know, remember it today. All by myself. Nobody had reminded me, and I was kind of proud of that because, you know, I am thoughtless.
Much appreciated. Well, then listen to this card.
No, that's not appropriate music.
Now, keep in mind...
It's the girl from Ipanema. We need more romantic music.
We've worked together 20 years now. You got something better? Let me try this one. Well, it's a short beginning, but we can go with it.
All right. Better.
Mike, you know what? Why don't you read it?
That's okay. A good idea.
The card comes from you.
I should mention that this card, I hate to be a stickler, but it's just not the right music. The edge of this card. This is sexy, and excuse me, I really don't think this should be sexy music. This should be sweet, loving music.
Mm-hmm. Right, love is a man's standard thing or something like
this
that.
One. This is what I like. It was my birthday 2 days ago, incidentally, so we'll go with that.
All right, this is my birthday card to Don, and this is fresh out of the Hallmark store where I purchased it.
Today.
How do you know? Sweetheart, you are my heart's true love, the one I was meant to meet across time, across space.
Uh-huh.
And across whatever obstacles life put in our way.
Mm-hmm.
You are the one I was meant to be beside. Now and forever. The one whose kiss is magic to me. The one whose eyes reach into my soul. The one whose laughter lights my day. And whose whispered words of caring warm my nights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just on the front.
Wow, open it to page two, Mike.
I open it to page two. You are the one who understands what's in my heart. The one in whose arms I share a refuge from the world.
Well, yeah.
And all its cares.
Correct.
And then the final stanza. You are the only one with whom I could find such a wonderful, deep, and exciting love. And I'm so glad to be sharing life's beautiful adventures with you.
Wow.
Happy birthday. Love me. That is so nice.
Well, thank you, Mike. That's beautiful.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It was more touching than anything I received from any other family.
Don't you like
family or friends?
The felt frame that it's, you know, it's got a little feel to
fuzzy.
It. It's lovely. It's a fuzzy feel.
$3.99 in America.
Yes.
Wow,
$5.49 if you buy this baby in Canada. And, Mike,
mm-hmm.
I'm one of those fags that turns it around and notices.
Notices the cost.
Hallmark,
if you care enough to send the very best.
There you go.
Which I do.
So anyway, thank
you. I didn't sign up for the Hallmark Club, though. I was in a very, very big hurry.
That's a rip.
It is.
Thank you for that.
Once again, to all retailers, please when I'm purchasing something, don't make me join your little band of merrymakers. I want to buy my product and get out of your store.
Did you get offered a complimentary gold sticker?
No.
They
no.
didn't even give you that?
No, I didn't give her time to get that. I said, she said, would you be, no.
What a jip.
Would you be interested? No.
So the vacation.
Yes.
Which included my birthday, which was also wonderful because, you know, on one hand, I'm going to sound like a jerk face here.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I'm just going to be honest and tell you, I love my wife and I love my family and I love my life.
You know that.
However, for two glorious weeks, I answered to no woman.
It was you, you, and you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. My kid is at college. He had a crisis. He would call. We would discuss it. Mm-hmm. That would be, and I, you know, by crises, I mean, you know, oh, I got a test coming up. That was the biggest problem that I had to handle.
That's great.
My wife had prearranged for her mom's 80th birthday. The two of them were going to go to Italy, you know, once-in-a-lifetime mm-hmm. trip around the world to see stuff that I don't give two rat's asses about. But if it makes them happy, it makes them happy. And it was originally going to be that our vacation was at a different time and that she'd be going while we were at work. And as it turns out, things got moved. And anyway, it's just the most relaxing 2 weeks I've ever had.
That's wonderful.
I'll say this, that there's a lot to be said after being married for 23 years. There's a lot to be said for getting up in the morning. And it took me a couple of days to get used to this.
Mm-hmm.
But getting up in the morning and realizing I can do anything I want. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not talking about doing crazy stuff like, you know, putting on a jock strap and going in my front yard and lighting off some bottle rockets. I'm talking about something as simple as coming downstairs and just getting my coffee,
mm-hmm.
let the dogs outside, let them run all the way up the street, let them run to North Vietnam, I don't care, just the dogs run.
Now, is this something you wouldn't be allowed to do if your wife was there? Would you be allowed to let the dogs run to North Vietnam?
Oh, no, I would be, but there would be, at some point, I would have to come out on the front porch and say, you know, dogs, hey dogs, come back from North Vietnam.
Right.
I had an open door policy with my dogs. I sat all three of them down and I said,
go to Hanoi, come back whenever.
I said, if you jump the fence, you jump the fence. I love you. Have a good time. And they all hung around.
Mm-hmm.
So I had two solo weeks.
That's wonderful.
Where I did, I mean, normally I come back with stories about people that have pissed me off,
right.
places that I've been.
Right.
I got nothing.
Travel nightmare.
Because all I did was stay at home. And my wife would call me every day from Italy, and she'd mm-hmm. say, oh, things are so great here. We're painting and we're eating. And what are you doing? And I mean, it's the same thing every day. I'm not doing anything.
Right.
Here's what I did. I also did stuff that I would never do if she was around.
Okay.
I power washed stuff with a power washer.
Stuff that you would probably be told to stop because you're doing it incorrectly.
No, not necessarily. It's just, here's the thing. I don't know a nice way to put this. When she's there, I don't want to do these jobs.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you're saying you were self-motivated.
But when she wasn't there, I said, you know, this is something she's busted my ass about. And I guess I kind of half think I could get this job done.
But in a way, you're doing things to please her, which is wonderful.
And I pleased myself in the greatest way of all and in the most dangerous. Oh, no.
Oh, you mean that?
No, not that, Mike. It's a new show. Although, God knows, lots of that went on. And Buzz, incidentally, thanks for the DVD.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy birthday.
And how
it's a tradition.
You know, without getting very specific about what it is that you offer in these adult DVDs mm-hmm. that you select for me, how is it that you know what I like?
Oh, that's disturbing.
Well, you always have your finger on the pulse of what's hot in America.
So to speak.
I did some research, and apparently this is one of the hottest videos on the market
well,
right now.
Well, it's like someone's been...
You'd love it.
It's like someone's been spying while I'm watching porno.
Somebody knows what you like.
Yeah, well, Buzz does.
Another interactive, I believe.
Buzz sure does. I just want to say there's one part I didn't like. It involved shaving.
Oh, I don't like that either.
Shaving of a man.
I didn't know. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
Didn't care for that. When that part came up, I had to... Come on, there you go.
Oh, God.
Turn that thing off.
God. So my wife would call me from Italy, and she'd say, oh, we're eating, and we're painting, and Mom and I are having a great time, and what are you doing? And my answer was always, I'm not doing anything. Oh, poor baby, I feel so bad for you.
Right.
And I would have to curb it on the phone with my wife, yeah. My enthusiasm.
Play it down.
Somehow I'll get by with that. You know, I did miss her. I did miss her. I do love her. But I would be lying to you if I didn't tell you on more than one occasion, I actually hung up the phone and then did a little dance around my house. How retarded is this? I'm now 46 officially. Uh-huh. And I'm still dancing around. I'm going, it's my house. It's my house. I'll do what I want. I'll turn my music on as loud as I like.
Right.
And I would talk to the dogs as I would run through the house and say.
So it was your fortress of solitude.
Yeah. I'd say, hey, dogs, guess what? Air conditioning's on. Guess what else? Every window in the house is open. Hey, guess what? TV's on upstairs. TV's on downstairs. That's right. We're doing everything that Mommy doesn't want. It was just relaxing. I had a couple of nights up in Ocean City. Buzz and Marsha came up
right
to join me to make sure I didn't, go off the deep end by mm-hmm. myself.
Make sure you were okay.
Very nice companionship and friendship from Buzz and Marsha.
Right.
And I got to see some squabbling between them.
Ah, sure. That lovely bickering.
Some bickering between them.
What we do.
Yeah. And I noticed that a lot
Well, you've been together how many years? 29?
29 years.
29 years.
A lot of the bickering made me really feel at home. Because
yes.
A lot of times, as for instance, up in Ocean City, we're sitting out on the deck having a beverage, having some of Buzz's low-carb finger foods.
Right.
And would just be the three of us sitting out on the deck with my dogs, having a nice time. And Marcia would say something, and Buzz would give her a look that would indicate, I interpreted it as, don't say anything else. Just don't say anything else. And whatever it was, she's saying innocently, she didn't mean anything by
right.
it.
Right, no,
but I know Buzz's mindset that right away, he's pissed that she's even entering into whatever it is that she's going to want to discuss with me.
I suppose you kind of know that telepathically after a number of years.
I do, mm-hmm. And what was great was that, and I'm sorry I wasn't a great friend, Buzz, because here's the deal.
Happy birthday. We're staying back. And
happy birthday.
We'd be sitting up on the deck having a fine time. She'd be talking a lot. And she did.
Yeah.
She did. She would talk. There was not a moment where it was just quiet. And Marcia likes to ask, like Frida does, a lot of questions.
Yes. Right. All about questions.
Where did you get this? Where did you think you got this? Where do you think you could get this? Where did those people get this? Where do you think this is made from? How come you don't see these type of birds here? What type of bird is that? Is that a dolphin in the ocean?
Right.
Gee, the salt. Do you think the salt is going to get on our curse? What channels do you get? Do you watch that show on FX with Dennis Leary?
Right.
I really want you to hear it, to hear what the title song is. Do you know where the peanuts are now, not the peanuts.
If I can interject, since you brought it up, that is my favorite new television show, Going
Rescue
Away.
Me. Yeah.
So as,
yeah,
going, very good. As these questions would be coming my way, and I was being polite in,
right.
and answering all of the questions.
Did you answer them like in the Albert Brooks movie when they're at the hotel?
No. The guy just goes, I don't know. All I know is that Buzz at one point would have to call Marcia aside.
Right.
And I don't know what it is that you say, but it would stop. It's like...
Was it something like grabbing the arm and going, stop
no.
this
oh.
ridiculous silent communication.
Speaking of,
did he say remember the ladder?
Please to be explaining, and Rob, I'm glad you brought that up.
What?
Please to be explaining the, and I am not kidding when I tell you, a 12-inch bruise on his wife's leg.
Buzz.
That is absolutely purple.
Buzz, like would you like to explain to our listeners?
It is purple like the Minnesota Vikings helmets.
She but fell.
You don't need to answer anything.
Oh, dear me.
She just fell on the stairs.
Oh, I want to tell you something. I love Buzz. I love Marcia. I love them both. Mm-hmm. However, I want to say, we're sitting out in these deck chairs, and, we've got our bathing suits on and T-shirts, and Marcia, for whatever reason...
Just the bottoms, all of you, right?
Marcia's very uncomfortable. I can tell that she's not...
physically uncomfortable?
No, I don't want to say this
socially
the wrong way.
Uncomfortable.
She's not, it's not that she would want to sit in the chair mm-hmm. like she was in a gyno. In the gyno.
Yeah.
But
I understand.
But her legs are wrapped together. So finally, I say something like, Marsha, what is the deal with your legs? They're like a pretzel. Because she had shorts on.
Right.
We were getting sun. She said, well, I didn't
want... Is that when she burst into tears?
She said, I didn't want you to see this. And then she spread her legs mm-hmm. a little bit. Well, she was yeah. wearing shorts. And I saw this gigantic bruise, which is on her inner thigh.
Buzz Burbank.
A little bigger than a fist.
And here's the story that I hear. So I said, how did that... Now,
quite large.
Yeah, it is. And I said, how did that happen? And she said, oh, I walked into a desk at work.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
then I put that together with, you know, Buzz looking at her, giving her the looks like, hey, yes. honey, you know, ixnay on the awking tay.
Marsha, if you're listening, this is Mike. I just want to say I feel so badly for you. If you need somebody to talk to. Please give me a call.
And that was really only one of two bruises. She had another from, you know, the little fall on the stairs.
That's
or,
true.
Of course, it could be an unwelcome side effect of intense bedroom play.
Oh, yeah. I don't even want to know what you guys were doing. You know, here's the thing. We have people as house guests. And Buzz and Marsha are really good house guests. I mean,
great.
They're very...
Well, you're all alone in your bed at night. Do you hear anything from the other rooms?
No, but here's the thing.
Going...
I did. How gross is this? I did not
see Buzz unpack the cat o' nine tails.
I did not smell them, but I did look at their bed sheets. They stripped the bed.
Oh, did they?
They did.
That's very nice.
Because that's the type of house guests that they are.
We normally wash the sheets just so, you know, nobody else will see them. But
yeah.
You said the maid would do that.
Yeah, you said, we got somebody coming in. Don't worry about it. And then I walked by and I saw the pile of the bed sheets. And I thought, well, just maybe I'd see something. I had a CSI moment and decided not to look.
Right.
Not to sniff. And then I was maybe the rudest host that you can possibly be. You've got a couple of people who have come down to the beach to spend a couple of days with me and my dogs. This is my wife's out of the country. And I say to Buzz and Marsha, it's been really great having you guys stay at the beach with me. I'm now going to leave to go back home because I wanted to watch whatever the first football game was.
Thursday night game.
New England and Indianapolis.
New England and Indianapolis.
I want to watch this in high def. Mm-hmm. You're speaking of Mark Cuban.
Right.
So Buzz said, well, our other friends aren't coming up until later tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So there was going to be a period of like 8 or 9 hours where they're in the lurch. They had nowhere to go.
Right.
They could go play miniature golf, or they could go to the movies. Or I could be a good guy and say, listen, you're my guests. I'll just hang out the rest of the day with you. Mm-hmm. But you know what I did? I said, listen, kids, here's the key to the place.
Right.
I'm going home. You go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You stay.
Stay, enjoy yourself.
Knock yourselves out. Buzz, when we go to the Redskins game on Sunday, I'll see you at the Tampa Bay game.
Very good.
Give me back the key to my house, though.
And I did. So, and the house is still standing.
So who knows what they did, but we had a wonderful time with Buzz.
Did you try out every room?
Of course. No, we had a very nice time, and it was not rude of you at all to leave. I understood perfectly. We just needed someplace to hang for a couple hours. We did, and I appreciate your generosity. That was very nice.
You didn't want to go to a motel with, like, hourly rates.
No, I've done that. Been there.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
And, we do want to mention Iguana Surf.
Yeah.
That's our restaurant
there.
Oh,
my God.
That's great. Also, Tequila Mockingbird.
Great
you like the, that guy Dale there.
We love this
as well. So, our thanks. What, Mike?
I just hate it when you do that. I'm just kidding.
Well, I'll just say.
Well, thanks. Look Around Cafe.
Thank you very much.
Buzz and Marsha, thank you for spending the time with me. And then, listen to this. This is, now again, I'm alone. So the Redskins opened their, this is like last weekend, the Tampa Bay game, the first game of the year.
Right.
And Buzz has not been to a football game in, well, since the last time I took him.
21 years or so.
21 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz wants to go to the football game.
Very exciting for him.
So if you can imagine, I'm at the game, and this is Joe Gibbs' first game back,
mm-hmm.
opening weekend of the NFL. Couldn't be more excited. I was jacked up out of my mind.
Yeah, everybody was.
I was watching the game with two guys who don't know. No, I'll say, you know what? Rob half knows what's going on.
Rob does the announcements and stuff.
Yeah. So I was sitting up in the stands with Rob and with Buzz, and it was funny that I ended up having to have conversations with the guy sitting in the chair next to me, because sometimes I would turn to Buzz, and I'd say something like, Did you see that shift on the H-back?
Right.
Did you see that the way that they misdirected that play, and Portis goes, and Buzz just looked at me like a deer in the headlights, and,
wow.
You know, I'm having a great time.
It was very pretty. There were a lot of colors in the stadium.
Lots of bright colors.
Lots of things to see. I enjoyed it immensely, and I hope I didn't bring down your experience. I'm sorry. I just don't know
didn't.
That much about it. But
no,
if you
didn't.
Cheered,
it
if was, you stand up and cheered,
I did.
It was great to be there.
Mm-hmm. And this is fun.
And they won.
Yes.
That was a good thing.
At least 2 weeks ago they won.
2 weeks ago they didn't win yesterday.
And this is always the best part of going to the game and having my buddies come up and sit with me. Because I'm watching the game with Buzz, and then Rob comes up, and Rob's been done on the field with his announcements. And Buzz, is there anything funnier than watching Rob's head on that big giant screen at the stadium?
It is surreal. That's the best word for it. I really enjoyed it.
That's my favorite part, going to the game.
A lot of Rob's head.
And when Rob does the announcements now, whatever it is, the Redskins want him to read, like, you know, you could be the fan of the game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He now pretends that he's Michael Buffer.
Stretches out the name.
Everything with Rob is the Redskins marching band. And a couple of times.
That's great. I got to go now just to see that.
A couple of times his voice actually broke.
Yeah, a little.
Come up and give us one example of when you do the PA stuff at the Washington Redskins games.
The only thing.
But do it as loud as you do there.
Well, I have some help there with the speakers. The only marching band in the NFL Hall of Fame. Please welcome the Washington Redskins Marching Band!
And you're only getting it right there at 10%.
Does he, a la Big Daddy Dan Wilkerson, does he do the... It's never broken that bad.
That was a very incidated isolant. But in the stadium, it is a lot of fun to hear your voice. And you can appreciate that when you're back at you like that.
Well, that was my favorite part of the game. When I went to the game last year, that was my favorite part, was watching Rob do that. I mean, it was fantastic.
And my favorite part is saying band. Every time.
His big head on the screen, and because Snyder hates us, they don't put on the screen Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show.
Right.
No. It's just Rob Spiewak from WJFK.
Yeah. That's new this year, that they've actually put my name up.
Oh, really?
I've not seen it. I've heard about it. I'm scared to ever look up and see my head.
Yeah, because
I'll
freak
just
out.
Lock on it. That's got to be too
weird. Your head will cock at a dog's angle.
Here's the best part. Rob is up now in the section with Buzz and I. We're watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's midway through the first quarter. And they're going to announce whatever they do. This at all the stadiums in the league. The pizza thing. They pick the fan of the game and give them a pizza.
That's great.
Okay. Rob stands up because he's got the cheat sheet from the Redskins with all the promotions. Rob stands up. They go, Redskins fans, it's time for the fan of the game. Rob stands up and goes, it's section 413, row 12, seat 282. And all of the people in our section, of course, don't believe him.
Uh-huh.
And they're getting out their seats to see if they've won the goddamn Papa.
And Rob's got that kind of memory that he remembered looking at it, right?
It's written down in front of him. He's got the clipboard.
Oh, you still got the clipboard with you.
He's got the clipboard in front of him. So all of the people in our section, this is such a great joke, because they're all getting out the cards. And Rob's saying to them, I already told you what the winning section's going to be. And then when they announce it...
Then they look at him like he's pressing.
They look at him, yeah. Really, like he has just done some incredible illusion.
Rob, do people recognize you when you're walking through the stadium? Do they acknowledge you from seeing you on the big giant jumbotron?
About halfway, hi, how you doing? And the other half is go F yourself.
And when they announce Rob, there's, I'd say, like 25% indifferent.
Right.
25% boo.
Right.
And about 50% a smattering of applause.
It was a pretty good crowd for the opening game.
That's great.
It was a big full stadium.
It sure was. Very impressive.
And the only thing I did on the vacation, which I was so proud of, and I did this with nobody's help, well, I was so mad. Speaking of high def, the Packers game was in high def last Monday night, and I got a problem getting our Channel 7.
Right.
And I know that you should hire a professional. You should hire a spotter if you're ever going to climb up on your roof.
Yes. Ladders are dangerous.
But I did it anyway.
You climbed the ladder, got on top of your roof.
I climbed the ladder, I got up on top of the roof, and I had no way of knowing if I was fixing the signal or not.
When you called me this week and you said you had done that, it was about 12 hours after we had run a best of segment where callers and Mike and Buzz and I all chimed in with some of your past escapades, and I thought, you're lucky to have your life up there.
Sure.
Now, So I got
Charles
up
Bronson up on his roof.
That's right.
Not up there, but I got it done.
Yeah, you get all the channels now, right?
Get all the channels perfect.
And you were wearing heels when you did that.
Climbed up on the roof.
Blindfolded on a unicycle.
And again, with no offense to my lovely wife, the best part was nobody questioned anything.
And
I
you
did
it all by yourself.
Yeah.
You fixed it.
Felt like climbing up on the roof.
Would she have let you do that had
no,
she been in the
no,
continent?
No, not a chance. Not a chance. If she had been in the continent, that's funny.
The continent.
That's funny. Because, I mean, listen, all guys have felt this way.
Right.
There's a time when your wife leaves, like if she goes for a vacation or has to go out of town or right. something. You're talking about now, in this case, a vacation. 2 weeks.
Right.
I mean, it's 2 weeks. You know what it was?
I can relate to that.
It was the courtship of Eddie's father.
There is a time when your wife leaves.
Well, okay. Mike, in my case, she came back.
Oh, that's right. Okay, very
but
good.
For those 2 weeks, and I miss Mike, honey, funny little honey, and I love her, and I'm glad she's back.
Right.
But I have not had a more relaxing vacation.
You're tanned, rested, and ready for the fall.
Excellent. I've
never felt better to
that's
come back.
It's just a coincidence.
It's just a
and you could live dangerously.
Yeah.
And now she will be back to protect you.
And I was not able to make it to the gay wedding. Mike, you were not able to as well.
No, I had a wonderful excuse. It really, I'll tell you later, it was a wonderful excuse.
But that remember that gay wedding we got invited to where the Bush twins were going to be there?
Right.
As it turns out, we weren't able to go. Rob? Yeah, you didn't go, right?
Didn't get coverage for the kids.
Nah.
Now, Buzz, you went.
No kids.
And you bought a tuxedo.
I did. I was going to anyway.
And Beth Ann went.
Right.
So we'll get in.
So was Beth Ann your date?
Not exactly. No, we arrived and left separately.
Okay.
Did Beth Ann buy a tuxedo?
I don't know.
I want to know what Beth Ann wore, too.
All right. So we'll find out, because they went to that gay wedding.
I hope she didn't wear a Christmas sweater.
No. And she has a lot of Christmas sweaters.
She does.
No, she was nice. Very nice.
Oh, was she really?
Yes.
So we'll talk to them about their experiences at the gay wedding.
Very exciting.
Oh, and listen, we've got the Britney Spears, the grandmother of her first husband coming up. And I promise you today, I know we're jam-packed, but today this is a promise. The Jerry Lewis telethon was on Labor Day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
While we were on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Ed.
Do you realize that last year we never analyzed the Jerry tape.
And it's too late to do that now.
Right.
We must move on.
We must move on to the new one.
Today, we will devote an entire break to the 2004 Jerry Lewis MDA Suckathon.
Was it a healthier Jerry, Rob? That's the only question I have for you.
No.
Was it a healthier Jerry?
It was such an emotional experience for me, and I realized I've defined the relationship between me and the telethon.
Right.
The telethon is an abusive husband. And I'm the lady on call.
Oh, listen to this.
And really, that's really how it works. Don't take it away. I hate it, but please don't take it away.
There's a serious call I get from him. He calls up and he says, hey, what's happening? And nothing. He says, I'm taping the telethon. I said, great. I said, how's it going? He said, I don't know. I said, well, you're taping it, but you're not watching. He said, it's so bad, I can't stand to watch it.
Wow.
It's true.
But Rob didn't mean that in a funny way. Rob was really troubled by the fact that the show was so bad.
After the first hour, I realized that I started reacting that I would in any stressful situation. I was like a little clammy. I was pulling at my bottom lip, which is my go-to nervous habit. And I said, Carrie, I'm really not enjoying this. And we have to turn it off now.
And not to give away the end of this story, you probably know this, we've been gone for 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
They didn't get as much money as last year.
Uh-oh.
Even though they dedicated it to that crippled kid that was so popular.
Maddie Stepanek.
Mm-hmm. However, wait till you hear, Jerry does have spin as to why they did not receive enough money for the telethon.
He can explain anything.
Little spin control.
He's got some spin.
And if he lost 70 pounds, it was from the waist down.
Oh, really? The head was still as big as a pumpkin?
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, dear.
Very good, Ed. We got that. We've got the Britney. We'll do this now, these commercials, and we'll come back with Betty Alexander, who is the grandmother of Jason Alexander, who was the guy that married Britney Spears.
I hope she's bitter.
5 minutes.
I sure hope she talks like that, too.
And I don't know if you saw anything on TV about Britney Spears' marriage to this guy.
I did.
Did you see the outfits they wore?
Yeah, I saw the two sets of outfits for the groom,
they had
the pimps.
They had velour jogging suits that on the guys on the back it said pimps,
and then
it was
pink,
embroidered
pink jogging suits for the bridesmaids
that said maids, and for the guys, for the groom's dad, he had a pink velour jogging suit that said pimp daddy on it.
Yeah. Very nice. I've always said she's a classy lady.
And for their first dance as husband and wife, maybe Ross Valerie is out there listening.
Really?
Because their first song that they chose was Journey's Lights.
Really?
Right, because she's just an idiot, retard, redneck.
They'll always have the jumpsuits.
Hold on a second. After the wedding, guests dined on chicken fingers, hamburgers, crab cakes, ribs, and Waldorf salad.
Catered by Hooters.
Very cool.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yeah.
Let me see.
She's something.
The whole thing was 20 minutes long. She wore a strapless white dress. Oh, and incidentally, she's changed her hair. I like Britney as a brunette.
You know, but you never put as much time and thought into the second wedding.
No.
So the question here is, the question is, what happens to Britney Spears' first husband?
Well, I think this guy, apparently, from what I've read, this guy's pretty banged up about this.
Well, we'll find out when we have our exclusive, a Don and Mike exclusive.
He liked to die.
With the grandmother of Jason Alexander, Britney Spears' first husband.
Man, I hope she goes through hoops for ye.
That's coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, tell me they're just like letting the audience just f***ing stand out there like that. Oh my God, okay. So let's hurry, y'all, seriously. This is retarded. They told me they were going to do a vamp. Oh, oh, no. What are they doing? Let me see. Oh, my panties are short. I grew. I thought they were going to... I know. Well, I'm just not going to just stand out there. I thought they were going to vamp. Okay. Okay, thanks.
The Don and Mike Show. Forget it. I'm halfway home. The Don and Mike Show.
Forget it. Hello, darling.
Yes, my boo-boo.
Hey, listen to this. Here she is back from Italy.
Yeah, well, I was telling Mom, it looks like we can make this an annual trip to wherever. You seem to do okay by yourself.
Yeah, I told you. I love you. I missed you, but... Like, every time you called, you expected, I think, for me to say something was wrong, something was haywire. No, things ran cool.
Well, but, you know, there are those, and that reminds me, because you were just playing a song by Paul McCartney, who, of course, wouldn't leave his wife. And there are those that think that, you know, that we should not be separated like that, especially for 2 weeks. I would not have planned it that way if I'd known that... You know, you were going to be away from work, but I don't know if that's healthy.
Well, we'll find out, won't we? I'll tell you what. Am I not in a great mood now?
Yeah, and I'm in a great mood, too.
That should be enough.
That might be a bad sign.
No.
Give yourselves now 2 weeks together and see how you are after the 2 weeks together.
Yeah, we know how we are after 2 weeks together.
Oh, and the great news is that her mom is still with us.
There you go.
So, you know, bonus for me.
Sure.
Unfortunately, Mom has to be heading back home tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Disappointing.
Hi, this is Don's mother-in-law.
There she is. Hey, darling, listen, what is the update on DonandMikeWebsite.com? Have you talked to those people at the computer place?
I was just chatting with them 5 minutes ago.
And
in a few weeks. Because, you know, I was out of town, so,
Well, I think I had said October, and it's already September 20th, so what do you think?
Well, one of the things is, have you and your lover been in to have your picture taken yet?
Which lover?
The lover with the mushy birthday card.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah.
No, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Mike.
How are you anyway?
You know, it could be anybody.
No, I want to lose some weight before I get my picture taken.
No, you can't.
Mike, I am going to lose weight.
But the bad thing is, Mike, I'll tell you this. If we have to have, if we have a dummy of it right now, we have a mock of the website, you know, that we're just kind of fooling with, and we're using as a hold, you know, just a placeholder, that really attractive picture of you that you got.
Why don't you just come with me this week and we'll just bang it out. We would just get it done.
The photographer is
why are you looking at me like that?
At making you, at giving you flattering poses.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. I mean,
it made me look like
is it, is it is it? Can you use like an old one of me temporarily?
Yeah, until, sure.
Because I'm really back on my after my vacation. Today's like my first big day. 45 minutes on the treadmill.
Wow.
The new diet plan back, and I ate so badly on my vacation. I was pointing towards this as being my time. Just give me 2 weeks. Can I have 2 weeks?
All right, sure.
Okay,
but I don't want to slow down getting our website up.
Well, it shouldn't slow down. You get any good webmaster can pop anything on at any time.
All right, we'll put the one we have on.
And also, I'd like my swell new haircut to grow. Let's just say this is not the prettiest time for me.
But the picture that we have of you are so much more attractive than the picture that's currently out there.
Well, you know, I'll take the one that's out there right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, baby.
Okay.
All right, so having said that, DonandMikeWebsite.com, what do you think? 10 days, 2 weeks, what do you think?
Well, I'll let you look at the mock-up we have and see if you think we're good to go. And then a couple of weeks.
All right, and have the people at the website place talk to Infinity about getting the, you know, the downloaded stuff, the, you know, if you want to download the show.
I thought we decided not to download the show, but to like a segment, a 15, 20-minute segment. We're good on that.
All right, outstanding. All right, very good.
Okay, we got no problem.
And you're all set about linking to certain other websites, right?
Look around, Cafe.
Right. Right.
He won't get his picture taken for the website, but right. He sure does want to link to his restaurant.
I'd like a front page. Thank you very much. Yes.
We'll do a major advertisement link.
Wonderful.
All right, that's darling. All right. Well, listen. What have they seen in Italy? Ciao.
Yes.
They say ciao tutti. All the DJs say ciao tutti. That's bye, everybody.
Ciao tutti.
Ciao tutti. And
right.
You know what? I couldn't help but laugh. Everybody talks like Uncle Luigi over there, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Good to see you, Frida. Hey. Big Frida, little Frida. Hey.
Yeah, they
called
me
Frida
Lina.
Hey.
Buone
solitari.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that.
Oh, I'm good at it.
What we used to do.
No problem, Donnie. No problem, Gigante.
Watch it.
Gigante.
All right, I love you. I'll see
all
you,
right.
Baby.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye. So there she is. That was interesting having her out of town. I know she met with the people from the website today. Mm-hmm. So let's give it 2 weeks. We should have it up.
All right.
We'll do it without your picture.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, they can pop it in at any time. Right?
Yes, they can.
That's the way that works.
Absolutely.
In 2 weeks, could you draw a picture? Just temporarily.
I'm not that bad. I just want to look better.
But I
want to look
better. Be fun.
It's not really. It's not the weight as much as my hair.
Yeah. You're not photographed from behind.
I know, this is true. It looks fine from the front.
We'll get you a wig.
Hi,
Beth Ann.
Hey.
Hey, where's Brittany's grandma?
Daddy? Well, it's not Brittany's grandma. It's Jason's grandma.
Right.
She went to the store with Daddy.
Oh. She went to the store with Daddy to get something for you.
And I talked to Dennis, who is Jason's dad.
Yeah?
And he wouldn't go on the air.
Oh, well, all right.
Couldn't you just tell them you wouldn't go on the air for me?
Well, let me know when you get Betty Alexander, who's the grandmother of Jason Alexander, Britney Spears, first.
Yeah, I see fish.
She sees fish.
And Beth Ann, you went and got your picture taken for new DonandMikeWebsite.com. How did your picture turn out?
I have no idea.
Ooh.
Rob, you saw her on Friday.
I saw one inch by one inch picture of me. It looked great.
Did you get your picture done?
I did.
You're not going to use the one with the microphone?
No, it wasn't an option. I was told to go to the place.
All right.
Is that up in the bathroom yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, wait, at Mike's place?
Look around, Cafe.
You're going to want to waterproof it somehow.
Yeah.
Something pocket, please.
You know, I really can't put it up there. I can't. I can't. I'm not going to do that.
Well, Beth Ann, please be letting us know the moment Betty Alexander
returns from the store.
Yeah. Right.
Regretfully.
Okay, bye-bye.
She is back. Regretfully, she's left us.
So that's where we were going to talk to what's-her-name about what's-his-thing. Buzz?
Yes.
Let me ask you, the gay wedding.
Oh, my God.
That you went to. The
oh,
one
my
that,
God.
We got invited to this wedding with these two upfront homo guys.
And I'm very sorry that I wasn't able to make it. I really was planning on doing it.
Me too.
And I know you were too, and it was just, you know, when we made those arrangements, you know, we don't think that far ahead. We don't realize we're going to be on vacation.
No, we don't.
In the middle of that.
But Buzz and Beth Ann were nice enough to go and represent the show. It was a gay wedding.
Not really a wedding.
Really
more of a wedding
reception
or a party,
right,
to celebrate their wedding. They actually were first married, I believe, 7 years ago in Amsterdam, and then again last year or this past year in San Francisco, while it was briefly legal, or so it seemed. And this was a celebration of, I guess, their 7 years together and the fact that they did do an American ceremony.
And the Bush girls were not there.
They did not show.
But was there lots of secret security and stuff there?
There were guys. This was an amazing party. Hundreds of people, limousines, red carpets, opulent, ice sculptures, flowers, food of every kind in this wonderful mansion and the pool and the bar by the pool. A stage set up with a glitter stage with female impersonators from New York and Washington, D.C. It was an incredible show, an incredible affair. The Bush twins didn't show. There were guys standing all the way around the white fence, all the way around the property with earphones. So it looked like maybe Secret Service or some kind of security. There was a lot of that. There were maybe a dozen police cars in front of the place just, you know, for extra security. Very impressive.
And?
And?
Was there any hot gay action?
No. No, it was very reserved.
Weren't there cross-dressers? Wasn't there?
Yes, yes there were.
Wasn't there a gay element, at least, to this wedding?
Oh, absolutely.
Don't gay men normally draw straight babes?
Oh, absolutely. One of them's a hairdresser, and many of his clients were there. And the other one works construction, and a lot of his clients and people, I guess he owns a construction company.
Hey, Beth, answer.
Is that a police officer and an Indian?
No, nothing like that.
So you had a good time at the gay wedding with these two guys that are fans of the show?
Yeah, it was fun. It was lots of fun. It was just unbelievable. I mean, they didn't spare any expense.
What was the highlight for you? Was there any straight action for you?
They were all gay.
All the men were gay?
Yeah, so it seemed like all the ones I thought were cute, other than Buzz, and Buzz is taken.
Were all the women straight, Buzz?
I don't know. No, I don't think all of them were, as a matter of fact. I think there were some lesbians there as well. They enjoyed the show with the female impersonators, which I think really was the high point of the party, especially Reba McEntire, who I found extremely alluring, and I don't even like country music.
So you mean, oh, hold on, here's Beth Ann's. That's the Roxanne version.
Beth Ann's jingle.
So Beth Ann, did you like the cross dresser? I guess it would be a man dressed like Reba McEntire.
Yes.
It was Whitney Houston. It was Reba McEntire. It was Cher. And I swear, I tell people I've seen them at concert because that's how good they were.
Mm-hmm.
They were so good.
So did we miss out on the party of the century?
Yes. I would say the party of the year.
Was there swimming? Because the invite alluded to swimming.
Well, the estate is so huge that I never really got down to the pool area. But there was a pool area and a cabana. But, I mean, the property was, it was huge. I mean,
was there any hanky-panky going on?
Sauna?
Any homo hanky-panky?
I didn't see
hanky-panky?
So many people there.
I left at 1, and the party was scheduled to go to 2 a.m.,
and there's a shot.
So I got out like an hour early.
What time did you arrive? About 2 in the afternoon.
I was there waiting when they opened the door.
Yeah. You didn't help with that tent?
What time did you get there, Buzz?
I think the party started at 7. I got there shortly after that.
Really? So you had a great time.
I had a wonderful time.
Wow.
There was plenty to do. But I didn't see any nudity. I didn't see any crazy activity. But my guess is that if that occurred, it happened after 1 a.m.
Really?
There was a hot tub set up with a fountain, and who knows what could have happened.
And we thank Buzz for his prepared statement.
All right, both of you. We'll see you later.
Bye, Beth Ann.
Bye-bye.
Are you like me? Are you getting the impression I don't feel like we're getting everything that really happened?
Nor do I.
I believe that things are being held back from us.
I heard from both...
From both Beth Ann and
I
from Buzz.
I heard from both of them that it was... I'm not getting the enthusiastic recap that I got off the air.
Oh, it was great. It was, I think, the social event of the season. And it's just hard to describe and hard to convey 10 days after the fact. But it was an incredible party. I think maybe the oddest moment of the evening is when the lead female impersonator led us all in a moment of silence for the victims of 9/11. That was maybe the oddest moment. Kind of had a strange quality to it, but
sure.
It was a thought that counts, I think.
Of course.
Was the man as a woman dressed as the Statue of Liberty? Or?
No. She was just
what was the most unusual outfit you saw at this party?
Oh, man, that's tough. People were dressed in formal wear and casual wear and everything in between.
Nothing really...
How'd that new tuxedo work out for you?
It worked out great, as a matter of fact. Yep. I went tux casual, so I wore the tux and like a t-shirt underneath it.
Nobody was wearing like a... you know, bicycle shorts with their shirts off? Or
no, there was
like
a guy with a hot pink feather boa, but that was about it.
I bet that was a woman buzz.
Oh, well, yeah. It's hard to tell at that party.
Yeah, that was a big, yeah, it was fun. I cannot believe it. You got there. And of course, on the invitation, it's a dress to kill.
Yeah.
And that's pretty, that's a lot of pressure.
That's a challenge.
It's a tall order.
So would you show up with a ski mask on?
Well,
you're really dressed to kill.
Yeah, but they would have stopped you before you got in there with all the...
What did you wear?
With that death band? You hate that, don't you?
I can't hear the and, so I only hear the Beth. You know how I hate that.
Yeah. What's the rock saying?
Anyway, you were saying? Beth Ann?
Yeah, there was so much security that if you really came dressed to kill, a.k.a. with a ski mask, you would have not
yeah, you
gotten
said that
into the
before.
Party.
What did you wear?
Sorry. Well...
Hold on.
I was waiting for him to do that.
Right. We could have paid to have Michael Sors. Something like that done for you. But
I'm only in my first quarter.
Right. So. Yeah. So you overall rated it, was that your first ever gay wedding reception?
Yeah, it was.
And what did you wear? Did you wear a dress?
I tried, but I shot and I hated everything.
Now,
I
know
hated everything.
Where you came from, down in the Carolinas, before you got the job here, they didn't let fags in North Carolina at the time,
I
right?
I that there are homosexuals in North Carolina.
Now, that's what I heard. In North and South Carolina.
Excuse me. I point out to you the American Idol winner, Clay Aiken.
And may I point out to you, that's a stereotype, Mike. That he is 100%. Oh, my God.
Is it North or South Carolina that he's from?
North Carolina.
The biggest queen of all time has got to be Barry Manilow. I am sad to say this. Last week, I watched Oprah the day after she gave away all the cars, because I'd read all this stuff about
right.
And I thought, how does she follow this show?
Mm-hmm.
She follows it up with an hour of Barry Manilow. And if his head doesn't look like... First off, his face has that Phyllis Diller, Joan Rivers look. Mm-hmm. Of
it's been pulled back, right.
Pulled back. He's got the crazy Rod Stewart hair.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He has drawn-on eyebrows. And if he does not look like just the biggest fag hag sitting up there...
Right.
You know... Oh, Mandy.
Sure.
And he's got eyeliner on.
He doesn't look worse than Joan Rivers, though.
No.
Because Joan Rivers looks as terrifying as any human being could possibly. Joan Rivers right now has, she has, her face is gone.
Yeah.
Whatever was her face many, many years ago is now completely gone. What it looks like is really an Irish drum.
You know what? Her cheeks used to be the inside of her nostrils. They have just pulled and pulled.
It's incredible. She's having difficulty speaking, which she's already always had a problem speaking. But you can't even see her mouth move when she's like...
However, she was missed last night. Now, I don't watch the Emmys because football is on and stuff. But
right.
During a timeout or whatever it was, I went to the other room. My wife and my mother-in-law are watching the show on E! The Joan Rivers show. And I said, where's Joan Rivers? And I remember, hold on, she got to deal with another channel. Right. It was that big cow star, Joan.
Yep. She's the one that did it.
Was out there.
It was a disappointment because, you know, right now, the only way I've seen Joan Rivers is on some promo where it was a still picture of her, and she's just looking, she looks very concerned. Her eyebrows are raised.
She's very surprised.
She always looks surprised.
I'm very surprised. Look at this. I wish Edgar was here.
She's got that new gig on the TV Guide channel.
Who the hell is this? Saria? How do you say that name? Am I getting that right? Saria?
It's Sierra.
Sierra. Hi,
Sierra. Sierra.
Hi there, Sierra.
How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great. Thank you, baby.
I just wanted to make a comment about when you say that it was gays in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I really haven't heard any of that. Well, I haven't...
Oh, darling, that is news. There are no gays allowed in North Carolina. Have you never seen the signs?
Hmm? Actually,
you ever been have you driven on 90? Have you driven on 95?
No, but
it's right under the state seal.
Yeah, the legislation was just shepherded through by State Senator Charles Albertson.
It used to say no fags allowed. Now it just says no gays allowed.
Right.
Because I think that might be in South Carolina instead of North.
Oh,
you're probably right.
You're probably wrong about the state.
You're right about that.
There's two states now.
Depending on what history books you believe, Rob.
Mine are old, so I don't know.
Anyway, darling, I'm glad you learned something today. So which of the Carolinas is it that does not allow gays?
North Carolina.
Oh, now it's back to North Carolina.
Hey, I said South Carolina allows it, but North Carolina, I know, doesn't allow it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's
all
what
right,
we
thank
heard.
You. Thank you for confirming that for us.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. I'm not sure what that was about. Would that be our first call since we came back from vacation?
Yes. What a great call that was.
I was on the Don and Macho, and what a thrill for me. The best of
go.
All call shows heard all across this
singing place. Senator from North Carolina.
Some say they're controversial and a little...
They don't allow fags.
My friend's done it.
It's now, you know what's funny? This guy's gay.
But I don't reckon that'll happen again in months and months and months.
Gee!
I don't reckon that'll happen again in months and months and months.
This homosexual Joseph. Hey, HJ.
Hey, Homo Joe here, Dynamite.
Oh, long time no chat, Homo Joe.
I know, I've been sick a little bit, but I'm okay.
Yeah, Joe, I almost called you over vacation. I appreciate you giving the message. Have you stopped passing out?
No, matter of fact, I did it again on Sunday watching a hockey game, sitting there watching the kids play hockey and blacked out again.
Wow.
So.
Well, are you all right?
Well, they as part of what's called sleep apnea, there's an intensive care unit for like 2 days and doing all kinds of tests, so... And I had an IV monitor because I had a little blood infection going on there from my kidneys.
Uh-oh.
So I had that all 10 days, and I had blown the lines and had to have things going on. But there are gays in North Carolina.
Okay, Joe, listen, God damn it, Joe, that's a joke. You're the last person that should be calling me about that.
Oh, I know that. I know that. I love these guys, you know, but I've missed seeing you. But yeah, I'm fine. I'm going to survive.
Well, maybe he called and he was calling to confirm that because he's been blacking out a lot. That's the only
thing. Yeah, I did, yes. Lack of oxygen.
but you're going to be okay?
Yeah, I'm going to be getting a CPAP machine soon to put on. I'll look like R2-D2.
I had that.
That's a pain in the ass.
I had that machine, so like for when you snore too much.
Better than that than, you know.
Yeah.
The big H, you know. Other than that.
What makes me nervous, Joe, why were you watching kids play hockey?
Oh, a friend of mine, I go to with her son.
Trying to get turned on.
Okay.
No, I just love hockey, and her son plays, and I support the team, you know, with some, you know, financial stuff. So it's good to go.
Thank you. And now we have to remember that not only is Homo Joe our favorite homosexual, but he's also independently wealthy.
He is.
Correct.
He is. Oh, yeah, right.
And like the pink Mark Cuban.
And you should have known, of course, when I said there are no gays in North Carolina, I only said that so a stupid person would call up and say, you know, what's going on?
Yeah, Joe, you know, get your sleep apnea straightened out, because then you won't call on things like that.
I will, I promise. I'm sorry.
Joe is not the only ailing Don and Mike semi-regular.
Really?
Today, Tom Gavin goes in for a hip replacement. From him. Godspeed. He invited us to call him, but I think we should probably let him recover.
You know what that means? That means there's, like, when I massage him, which I think I'm going to have to do
now. That's right, with the Red Sox bet.
Because the Red Sox stunk up the joint. That means there's going to be a scar.
Well, you might want to avoid anything weeping.
We get to wear our gloves, right?
Yes, we do. CSI gloves, you bet.
Okay. All right. Gloves.
Hey, Homo Joe, thank you. Hope you feel better.
Okay, thanks so much. Talk
all right.
To you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Homo Joe. I hate hearing that he's got a sniffle.
Yes,
I hate it.
I know.
Because I always have to go on QW.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Quilt watch.
Yes.
Hello.
We're very concerned.
Bob.
That's not the cue I thought you were going to say.
Not in my show. Hello.
Speak to us, please.
Hello. Please speak now.
Can I talk to my old pal, Rob? Rob?
He's right here, sir.
Yes.
Rob, I just want to let the guys know that you did a heck of a job, and that you are the Dean's Peanuts.
Right, you are.
That's very nice.
Thank you.
What are you talking about, sir?
What did he do?
It doesn't matter.
Hosting the best of while we were on vacation.
Oh, is that what he's talking about? Hosting the best. I agree.
Rob was the Dean's Peanuts while you were gone. That Van Patten thing, I think it was. Somebody came up with the Dean's Peanuts.
Right. Oh, that's right, when we had Dick Van Patten out
very good.
In L.A. Right, well, Beth Ann picked the best of. She did a great job.
Thank you, my friend.
Pray for Tom.
Pray for Joe.
Just pray.
Tom's getting a hip replacement, huh?
Yes, he is. He'll be hipper than ever.
Robot.
When we come back, we'll have to start the Jerry Lewis thing. We're still waiting on Britney Spears, the grandmother.
She's at the door.
The grandmother.
What you cooking for vittles, Granny?
Of Britney Spears' first husband.
Yeah, I see fish.
Oh, and Mike, I know you had a celebrity sighting on your vacation.
Yes, I did.
Who was it?
It was Jimmy Smith.
Wow.
I know you told me it wasn't anybody huge.
It wasn't. Well, he was huge at one point. When he was on
L.A. Law.
No, and L.A. Law and then NYPD Blue.
Right.
Right.
He was, but yeah, I saw Jimmy Smits. Went to a...
You go see him at a car wash?
No, went to a Bacardi party, and I saw him about in a bar on a Monday night at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Was he your waiter?
No, he wasn't. I shook hands, and I said I loved it. I loved his scene when they wrote him out of NYPD Blue when he died. It was like one of my favorite moments in television. That's all I told him, and then he went on. And I would love to say that I could comment on the condition that he was in, but I was in no position to judge the condition.
Understood.
Jimmy Smith. It was it was one of those deals where he came up to the bar that I was sitting at with a bunch of my friends, and I said, "Look, it's Jimmy Smith." And a friend of mine introduced me to him and shook hands, said some nice things. He was very flattered that I had those nice things to say, and then we shook hands and he went off into the night. He was flying around. He was like, and everybody was like, he's still very recognizable, so everybody's kind of grabbing at him.
Yeah. Speaking of, I can't believe I forgot to tell
you. Good heaven, no.
That I had, I don't do bad stuff anymore.
Right.
But on vacation,
mm-hmm.
Buzz brought some of that crazy absinthe.
Oh, the absinthe.
Up to the
what a night that was.
He had me drink some of that stuff that he makes, like that hillbilly way where you...
Yeah, that mixture that we all agree is the best way to have it.
Pouring it through the sugar.
I'm not sure exactly what Buzz did, but I want to tell you, those are maybe the 3 to 4 greatest single hours that I've ever had. And I'm talking about a lifetime of having ingested almost everything.
I've never smiled for so long. Mm-hmm. Like 3 or 4 hours of just smiling.
Yeah. And your wife, who had the giggles.
Yes, she did.
And here's how Marcia giggled when she was all drunk on this absinthe stuff.
Right.
And Buzz, and the more we drank it, I kept saying to Buzz...
The taste?
I said, first off, the taste got better, like after the second drink.
Yeah, first one not so good.
Second glass. Then I would start saying, I'm feeling pretty drunk, I'm feeling pretty good.
Right.
Why is this stuff illegal? Didn't I hear that this could, cause seizures or brain damage?
In the old days when it was poison.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, here's how Marcia giggles when she's all drunk.
All right.
She really puts her hand up to her mouth and goes, tee-hee-hee.
You sure that's not the way you were hearing it because of the accent?
No, I asked her the next day. I said, "You really?" Now, I know that we were all pretty drunk.
Right.
But you went, hee-hee-hee. And she, that's
true. She does.
That happened. She goes, hee-hee-hee.
After she says, tee-hee-hee, did anyone's face melt?
there was nothing hallucinogenic about it.
No stretching clocks.
No.
Animals.
Nothing like that.
Can I tell my story about my golf tournament that I won?
Yes.
I'm very excited because my buddy Randall and I won my golf tournament. It was the member guest tournament. It's the biggest one at Robert Trent Jones. It was a big deal. Lots of great golfers out there. Right. We won the whole thing. And for anybody that plays golf, that plays in those kind of tournaments, this was a big deal. I got a big trophy, took it to my bar, and actually put Irish whiskey in it after it had been washed in heat. Didn't realize that the trophy was made of crystal, and the trophy split like on both sides.
No.
And it split right up the middle.
Too bad Jimmy Smith couldn't see that.
I know. Jimmy Smith wasn't around then, but it was. There are a lot of pictures. I'll bring in some pictures and show you the pictures of me drinking Irish whiskey out of this crystal trophy.
Mike, that would be perfect for DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Okay, I'll try to locate that.
If you put a picture like that, that's right. The picture of you.
And the nice thing about it is before I got this haircut.
And
so that'll be very good. But this, man, I mean, really, as golf goes, I'm never going to do better than this. This was very, very exciting.
Congratulations.
I made some clutch shots moments.
A member guest. Golf guys know I'm not a golf guy.
It's a member guest tournament.
It's really
you have 9 flights of players. Then the 9 winners, the 2-man teams, go to the first tee. And, everybody comes out and watches. And suddenly you realize everybody's watching you. And there's a pucker factor that's just killer. And the only thing you don't want to do is whiff.
Yeah.
You don't want to whiff at the ball. And then to realize that, out of all these 9 teams, we were the last one standing was very, very cool. I want to say congratulations to my partner, Randall. He played great.
Are you
going to
give him half the trophy?
He got one, too. He got a big one, too.
It's cracked?
His is not cracked. His is probably, in his living room. Mine's in a bar with a big crack in it.
You should swap them. don't tell it.
No, I think that adds to the character of the moment.
It's not
yes, the fact. No, I thought I could replace it, but I want to keep it because it's got the crack in it, mm-hmm. and it like signifies why we did it. You know, we were all a little bit looped up. We were feeling very festive, and we put Irish whiskey with ice after it had been like washed in hot water, and it split right up the middle. And then I got a haircut. That's my whole vacation right there.
That's good. Exactly. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. I'm very excited.
You're goddamn excited really about winning this
I
golf game.
I called you. I left you a message. Did you? I never asked you this before. Did you notice when I left you the message that I was kind of that?
Here's the
and
thing.
Incidentally, that was the same night of the gay wedding reception.
Right. Right.
And that's why I wasn't able to go, because I had to go get my trophy.
If you had not used profanity
right
liberally during that message.
Did I use profanity liberally?
I picked up the message on my cell a couple days later, and it was so funny, because it was, Mike, really, you say festive, I say drunk.
Because
we
were celebrating.
Same with me.
Yeah.
Here's what the message is. And Mike calls me Charlie, especially when he's Bond. Hey, Charlie. I had the greatest sporting event of my life today.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is bigger than the... And then it's like a parade of F words and S words, and I'm thinking there's no way I can even save this to play it on the air.
That's too
bad. But the last part was just you said, "Yeah, this is damned if I don't go because I gotta go to the banquet. I gotta go to the banquet, Charlie. I won the tournament. I won. Do you hear me? I won the effing tournament."
You know, I'm 45. I'm a million pounds overweight. I'm not going to have many athletic moments in my life again. And this was, you know, was so much fun.
We spoke, I guess, about
yeah, spoke to Rob the same day.
And
right.
You were genuinely sorry. It was really
incredible.
Cool.
I mean, fantasy come true for you. It's really exciting. It's a lot of clubs have member guest tournaments where you bring a buddy in and you play in these tournaments. This one is at a very high level with a lot of competition, and then you have this shootout at the end with nine other teams, and man, it was just, it was the best. I'm very, very excited, and then I split the trophy. I cracked.
Hey, look at that! I guess we shouldn't have put ice in it after we put the superheated water in it. And not that anybody's counting, we'll have the complete recap tomorrow, but it appears going to be undefeated in our fantasy league.
You are starting out very strongly. I've spoken with Jay Dubs, and we might have to have a management change.
Yeah, right, Rob. You got a chance tonight. If David Akers hits how many? That would be 5 field goals tonight.
No, he only needs 12 points.
Only 12 points.
Will that make you 2-0 if you're... Okay.
True.
So, listen, let's go Vikings tonight, okay?
I'm planning on getting that passcode to get into the system, too.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, that's Jerry.
A preview.
Yes, it is.
That is a wonderful tease for Jerry.
Now, we've got some great hellos. We've got the Julia hello. Where's that one at?
Machine, isn't it?
I don't think so.
It's
no, it's not. It's on tape.
It's been so long.
Oh, you got it right there? All right, we got this one.
Hello.
We got this one.
Hello.
And now from the new Jerry Lewis telethon, we can add this one.
Hello.
Wow.
Okay, it's the breathing.
That's
the breathing.
That's the best. Boy, what a tease that is.
It's the...
Hello.
Oh, shut up, Ken. It's the 2004 Jerry Lewis telethon, which did not earn as much money as it did in the previous year.
Wow.
Jerry said...
Hello.
Oh. Oh, God.
Hold on, where is it? Hold on, let me bring you a little more
time. Jerry!
Listen to the breathing at the beginning.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Now I know I'm on. Okay.
Probably,
yeah,
yes.
You can hold that up, Bob. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce...
Okay, gotta stop it right there.
Oh, my word.
Gotta stop it right there. Ladies
and gentlemen,
almost as good as our Elvis shows.
Wow.
When we come back, we'll dive into the 2004 Jerry Lewis MDA Telethon.
Yay.
We're back from vacation. Glad to be here. Glad to be kicking ass. Glad you're listening. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. WJFK.
Hello.
Gee whiz, gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
All right, here we go with a station break. Baltimore Live 105.7 FM. Rochester, New York. It's a 10-year affiliate, WHTK. Houston. Houston, Texas. KIKK Wednesday. You start getting the whole show on Wednesday.
Right now you get a 2-hour feed.
All right. And in Portland, Oregon, 910 Max. That's it, 910 Max. Right. Oh, and let me see. Starting Friday on the show, and every Friday through the Super Bowl, we'll have Rich Eisen from the NFL Network.
Cool.
He's going to be the Nancy this year.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. He is a funny guy, and I don't want to... You know, no disrespect to Jim Nance, but I think Rich Eisen's a very funny guy.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything.
No disrespect to Jim Nance.
And I enjoyed Jim Nance doing the games this weekend. I think he does a good job with it.
Yeah, that's like Alan's promotion.
I think he works very well with Phil Simms.
I think that Jim Nance got roughly the same deal that Alan Limelon did.
Mm-hmm.
That they said to Jim Nance, mm-hmm. Here's the deal. You got a real high-profile job as the host of our NFL show.
Uh-huh.
However, how would you like a promotion?
Right.
To going out and calling the games every week.
Guys, it's great to be back in the broadcast booth.
Mm-hmm. Your fries are ready. The French fries are ready, friends.
Also, boy, are we whoring out and are we selling out. But
good.
It's okay. Starting October 4th,
We
cut a deal with Nancy Odell.
Yes, that is
Nancy Odell. Oh, that's she's beautiful.
Yeah, so every day, this broad from Access Hollywood
is Rob
will be coming on the show for a 5-minute live little spiel to tell us whatever.
This is it.
To tell her
is our ticket.
Mm-hmm. She'll tell us whatever's happening on her TV show that night.
Don't you all know what this means?
Why? I know.
This is our ticket to Hollywood.
I know. It's the spontaneous combustion.
This is when we develop a relationship again, mm-hmm. and then it's come out
to the Hollywood party, boys.
Yeah.
Yes, Nancy Odell, we'd love to.
So anyway, she'll be on from Access Hollywood. That'll be a daily feature.
Oh, good.
And then we'll have Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. He'll be on every Friday, and that'll start this week.
Look, I think
I've got that. And tomorrow on the show, if not rescheduled, if she didn't make it today, tomorrow we'll have Betty Alexander.
God, I hope we get her tomorrow.
Why is that?
I just do. I just hope we get her.
Grandmother of Jason Alexander, Britney Spears.
We can get her.
First husband.
Granny Alexander.
I can get her. She was at the store the last time Beth Ann tried to call.
Hello?
Any deal on Britney's first husband's grandmother?
Still calling. I've called back to the... I keep calling.
Hmm.
Calling everybody.
All right.
It takes time when you're shopping for a casket.
Rob, I bet she's not that old.
Yeah, you're right. She's probably like 42.
Well, probably in the 30s.
Also tomorrow, from your Seattle Seahawks, Grant Winstrom will be on the show. And Seattle's 2-0.
And look, Seattle is one of the teams that's kind of, along with the Jets, kind of picked to click this year, right?
I think so. They're a sexy pick. Sexy.
They're not vanilla.
No, they're not. You know what other team has become a sexy team?
What's that?
It's Jacksonville.
Jacksonville's sexy?
However, I will say this. I was watching part of the game yesterday. Byron Leftwich, when he took his helmet on, swear to Christ, celebrity he most resembles? Grown-up Gary Coleman. Pleased to be watching.
Okay.
The next time you see him, Byron Leftwich from Jacksonville with his
That's
helmet off.
That's worth tuning in right there.
Watch that. Oh, and all that talk about Jeff Garcia being a homo.
Yeah.
Because he's got the effeminate voice and T.O. has said stuff about him. I saw on television, now either this is the best beard of all time.
Right.
Or everybody had Jeff Garcia pegged wrong. His girlfriend, who is a former Playmate of the Year, got into a public catfight with Jeff Garcia's ex-girlfriend.
Whoa!
Who is a piece of ass, a big fashion model.
Right.
So ain't that something.
And they're both, so two hotties fighting over him?
Yeah, and one of the things that Terrell Owens had indicated once he left San Francisco was that he thought Jeff Garcia might be gay because of the way he talks. And what is it that Keyshawn said when we were on vacation? Keyshawn said so much stuff about Tampa Bay. He said Warren Sapp was big and old and fat
and John Gruden really didn't know anything about coaching, loved being on TV, and that Rondé Barber is the biggest Uncle Tom in the league.
Oh, wow.
And he's got some balls because I think they play Tampa Bay later this year.
You follow the NFL. Is there any truth that the winner of the Jeff Garcia girlfriend fight takes on Mrs. Kurt Warner? I heard that.
Hold on. Here's calls about Jeff Garcia. Ron.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, hi, Ron. You're on the air.
Hey, the thing about Brian Leftwich is he actually knows he looks like Gary Coleman, and they spoof it a little bit, like when he's on the Rich Eisen show on the NFL Network.
Oh, you know, I watched the Rich Eisen show, and I've never seen that.
Yeah, when he's on NFL, well, the one with him and the Kennedy, I forget which one it is, but they actually spoofed it on Jaguar Cam.
All right, my friend.
And then as far as Jeff Garcia being a hobo, he's got a pretty hot, smoking hot girlfriend.
These are the things we will ask Rich Eisen about every Friday.
Well, and we will ask that main question you mentioned it before, whether or not she is a beard. I don't know. I mean, it seems like to have two girlfriends like that,
two
it might
hot
be,
ones.
It's a stretch. It really is.
Hello, Darren.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Oh, glad to have you back from vacation.
We are very glad to be back. Thanks.
Hey, speaking of being out here on the West Coast and a big Niners fan, you know, I'm Jeff Garcia. His girlfriend is the current reigning Playboy Playmate of the Year, Carmella De Cesarian. What a POA she is.
What a sexy name.
Wow, so I guess all that talk about him...
It's Carmella De Cesari.
Carmella.
I bet we can bring her up on the internet.
I'll bet you could. I'll give you my account number.
get out of here. And Carmella reminds me of course, Carmella Soprano.
Yes.
Did you see her at the Emmys last night?
Yes.
Now, I know that she's had issues with some type of cancer,
yes.
So who am I to say? But it looked to me like Stevie Wonder cut her hair.
Vietnamese barbershop.
Right.
Yeah.
Growing it back. Her hair's growing back.
And then she's got the crazy dress on.
Right.
And the best part of it, and I mean it was like ostrich feathers.
The crazy dress.
The best thing was the end of the night. The Sopranos, it was right at 11 o'clock. I flip around, I'm watching the football game. The Sopranos wins for best show.
Right.
As they are all up on stage, James Gandolfini says, "We want to thank," and he goes, "Hey, wait a minute. And they go, "The 27th annual Emmys."
They cut them off completely.
Brought to you by... There was nothing.
Didn't they have issues with cutting people off all night
long?
Yes,
they did.
Yeah, they cut off Elaine Stritch.
Didn't Al Pacino have a little bit of a rave out?
Al Pacino, they played the music, and Al Pacino kept talking.
Yeah.
And Al Pacino got
his... Don't ever cut me off!
Now, this is funny. Meryl Streep, I saw this on one of these morning shows, she's getting cut off when they start playing the music.
She sang.
And she sings to the music. She starts singing, you can play the music, but I'm not going to get off stage.
That was a great
moment.
Along with it,
Dumb Emmys.
But how many times, so I guess it's over now. We're not going to have to watch Kelsey Grammer win another Best Actor award.
No, that's it. He's done mine.
All right, very good. Thank
Hello, Aaron.
Until his next project.
Hey, Don, how's it going?
Hi, my friend. It's going great, thanks.
Hey, that Carmella chick, Jeff Garcia's girlfriend.
Yes.
She's one of the finalists on the WWE Raw Diva Search. So if you watch Raw tonight, you'll be able to see her.
Now, who knew that Jeff Garcia had such hot women? And of course, I'll be watching. Yeah, right. Let me see what's on tonight. Eagles and the Vikings or Raw?
Football or Raw, yeah, really.
Yeah, right. I'll see you on Raw.
Mike, you brought up Kelsey Grammer, and I have a question I was really racking my brain last night. When he won, they said he's played Frasier for 20 years on 3 different series. And I didn't know there was a third series. That's what the announcer said.
Well, there were obviously Cheers, and then you got Frasier.
Did he do any sort of crossover stuff?
I bet he did, like on some dumb show.
Carrie guessed Becker.
Hello. Bob?
Yeah, Don, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thanks.
Hey, Mike.
Yes,
what's going on?
Hi, how are you, sir?
Hey there.
Hi.
Buzz, I got a scoop for you, man.
All right.
Jeff Garcia?
All right, good.
He is gay with Jeff Gordon. Hey.
All right, get out
now,
of
here. Now, come on. Now.
I got to tell you what. What did JPS tell me over the weekend? My brother, James Philip Soares.
Yeah, JPS.
You know what? I don't want to say anything because, well, I'll let him tell you.
Okay.
He has a health issue, or rather serious health issue.
He does?
Perhaps he'll bring up at some point. But the great thing about my brother.
Is it dental?
Oh, no. Lower than that.
Oh, really?
Lower than that.
Okay. I won't pry.
Above the belly button and... Below the neck.
Oh, ticker.
See if you can figure out. No, not ticker, Mike, but I don't want to say exactly what he thinks it might be.
His nipples?
A Anyway, he's in the middle. My brother is in the middle of telling me over the weekend about this in this awful medical thing that he thinks he might be going through.
Right.
When he says, incidentally, I saw a bumper sticker and I thought of you. And I said, what was that? He said, fag. I said, why did you think of me with fag?
Did he give you that little laugh, too?
Yeah, that Spicoli laugh, that high laugh. He said, fans against Gordon. Yeah, fans against Gordon.
And we just got this, and Kelsey Grammer was played Frasier on Facts of Life.
Hello, Winston. Don and Mike show. Winston.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Hello, Winston.
Hi, Winston.
It's Winston, everyone.
What's happening, Churchill?
Leah Remini's at it again. Did you see that she had her baby on VH1 this weekend?
Yes.
Now the show that was on VH1 was the one that broke up our friendship.
Mm-hmm.
The show about her wedding that they reran.
Right.
However, now Buzz, you called me on this.
Right.
When
Entertainment Tonight was doing a segment on it, and they said up next, Leah Remini's Scientology birth, and I picked up the phone immediately.
Wow.
And called Don.
Scientology birth. Would she have it on a spaceship or something?
Hello. She's lost most of the weight now, but at one point, I swear to God, her head looked like a pumpkin.
Hello.
She was
Julie?
Huge.
Hi, you guys.
Hi, Julie.
I love you.
Thanks. We love you, too.
Why, thank you. I was just going to ask the same question because I started watching it, and I couldn't stop that stupid Leah Remini.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Leah Remini's Baby Inside Out on VH1.
Oh, my.
What is the...
Oh, you know what? Now, first off, I don't know what that was rated. If you really got to see Inside Out. I know that over the weekend they reran the thing of her marrying Angelo Pagan.
Right.
This was different, and it was the very next day, as if they couldn't get enough coverage on her.
Right.
Oh, someone has to get us a copy of this because we'd love to see it.
Oh, my God. They go to the doctor's office. They show him going out in the middle of the night to get her some ham and mayonnaise for a sandwich.
Wow.
And then they show her eating like entire cartons of food and going, oh, I feel like a pig. Well, you look like a pig. She looked like a pig, too. But
oh, please, somebody get us a copy of this.
It was great. I was, I was hoping you guys watched it.
Is it true? Is it true that the baby was born at Vivian's?
When in Los Angeles?
Dine at Vivian's.
All right, Julie. Thank you for the call.
Maybe, love you guys.
Thank you. We love you too. Maybe someone will get us a copy of that on VH1.
Yeah.
Please.
And show up early at Vivian's for the afterbirth of it.
And here's Glenn. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Don and Mike.
That is great placenta.
Hi, Glenn.
We did see the baby before it got cleaned up.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi.
Hi there.
I just wanted to call in and let Rob A. know that Kelsey Grammer played Frasier on the short-lived spinoff that had Carla's ex-husband on it.
Oh, the Tortellis. Okay, thank you.
And you're welcome.
So is that where he got another Emmy from?
No, but he did play it on a third show.
Okay, hold on a second. You have won. Are you ready for this? Are you there?
He's gone. He wanted
gone.
No reward.
Mm-hmm. Gone. To spread the good word of grammar.
Uh-huh. Oprah gave away a car to everybody in the audience.
Right.
All callers today on the show that win prizes win tickets to the Allman Brothers. Hey, however, he doesn't get it. So it just means another unfortunate family.
Fantastic.
Because, that was part of the deal with Oprah. All the people in the audience
had to need a car.
So what we've got is a letter, a big bag full of letters from listeners who need to see the Allman Brothers.
They've had all sorts of circumstances, all different, but they all need to see the Allman Brothers.
Now, we never started the Jerry thing, and we got a break again.
Hello?
Poor man.
So when we come back, unlike previous years, we will actually at least begin to hear Jerry Lewis on this year's MDA telethon. Okay?
Hello?
Hello, all right, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Up to that point, Jerry had concealed his Percodan dependence.
I walk out with Michael, and I collapse in the hallway. And blood came from every opening I had. Eyes, nose, ears, name it. Blood flow like the damn dike opened up. What had happened was that the Percodan was concealing the pain of a grapefruit ulcer. They had me in surgery like in 20 minutes. I was bleeding to death.
Hello?
The Don and Mike Show. Poor old Ellen.
I got him out of order there.
Where'd that come from?
Oh, good heavens, no. The Don and Mike Show.
Good heavens, no.
I think tomorrow we'll have to sit down, Baby Doc Hughes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And get the one-on-one information from him about his coup's takeover here.
Join us for Meet the New Guy.
And as the Who sang, meet the old boss, meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Sure.
Oh, and one last television thing here. Yes. I've seen all the ads for CSI New York.
Right.
And I was wondering, are they going to go with another Who song?
Yes,
and
they do. Yeah.
And the song they've selected for CSI New York is Baba O'Reilly, or perhaps known to you as Teenage Wasteland.
Ah, yes.
Teenage Wasteland.
Right. Yeah. So
Who Are You works.
Yeah. And
I'm not sure the Teenage Wasteland.
I don't get that.
Won't Get Fooled Again also works.
Right.
For CSI Miami.
What's this deal where they're going to blow up one of the CSIs?
Oh, that's one of them. That this is not a power play for a contract. One of them, one of the Hispanic guys,
Rory Cochran.
Don't know which is which on that show, came and said, dudes, I'm tired of being on the show.
Right.
And they said, okay, we'll let you go, but how about, can we kill you first? And he said,
that's what it's about.
Sure, so that's the guy who gets killed tonight on CSI Miami.
All right. Tonight.
Tonight.
See, I misinterpreted. Now I feel like a real idiot.
Why?
Because when I heard them say one of the CSIs will die, I thought it was like, well, which is it going to be, Las Vegas, New York, or Miami?
Oh.
I thought they were going to pull up the whole shit.
No, he's not retarded.
Why? Hello. How are you anyway?
Hello, Will. Will.
Hi, I'm just calling to let you guys know that the other series that Fraser Crane was on was Wings, actually. So maybe one appearance on there.
Well, it might have been a cameo when they did that cross promotion.
Might be.
Well, actually, he had a pretty significant role in that episode.
Sir?
Doing some kind of psychiatrist work.
Can we all stop for 1 second to think how little we care?
I just thought you'd like to know, that's all.
Yeah. But hold on, let's stop and think now about how little we care about the fact that you thought we'd want to know that.
Okay, sorry.
But we'll give you the final word.
My mom's a whore.
Ah, that's
thank
cool.
you.
That's a nice final
there
word.
You go.
Nice
and
choice.
There's a time chime for you. Or just hang up, ass.
Oh, he's gone?
Yeah, he's gone.
He's gone.
Because our researchers in the back room just told me he had no way to get Allman Brothers tickets.
Well, that's too bad.
Circumstances prevented him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, everybody that gets Allman Brothers tickets has a need for
that's
Allman
right.
Brothers.
They've sent us the letter. Like, oh, have the people send them the letters.
That's right.
All right, listen, here's the Jerry Lewis thing. If we don't start this today,
it's going to be bad
because then we'll never hear it.
This is very exciting.
We at least started today. I guarantee we'll come back to it tomorrow.
Hello?
Okay. That's now, the opening.
Wow. Now, there's the 2004 Jerry Lewis MDA Suckathon. I'm going to go with Rob's notes on this.
Okay.
Rob taped it, dubbed it down, brought it in.
He's got the highlights.
Yes. Jerry's nutty pre-taped open. He is zooming through the streets of Los Angeles, fast motion, you know, like Keystone Cops,
right.
in an antique fire truck with a bad voiceover. Jerry Lewis is wearing a huge yellow raincoat in an effort to hide his weight.
Ah, smart.
Too bad this already sucks so much, is what Rob has written.
It's so bad.
I can't believe I'm this late. Do you realize that if it wasn't for these firefighters, I'd never get to the studio? We got a telethon to do. And the firefighters, of course, are getting me there because they've been my sponsor for 50 years. Since 1954, the firefighters have been there to take care of me as they're taking care of me today. Hi there. Hey, hi, hi, everybody. Hold those crowds back. I can't believe this. What a mess. Look at this. They knew I was coming. How do you do? Fred? Fred's not even there. I'm going to the studio. I'm going to do the show now.
Well, it's important to note that the energy and the cadence that you heard there was taped in advance.
Right.
Right.
That's the beginning of the show where they've got the videotape.
Right.
Now,
are his lips moving? Did he overdub it? Or?
It was all overdubbed.
It was overdubbed.
Let's go to Jerry entering television studio with dozens of firemen and bagpipes. Jerry is between a sofa and a love seat. And people are starting to obviously worry about Jerry's health once the people on stage see him for the first time.
Very good.
Now, where's Jerry?
He's just like a parade.
Is he being carried or is he walking?
Hold on.
Walking.
Here he is now. He's just walked. Rob wrote, he's out of breath from walking a very taxing 40 yards to get to his star, his mark on the stage.
Firefighters! The firefighters! Mr. President!
Mr. Lewis, our guy.
You're our man.
You're our man.
Your 50th year.
A partnership with MDA for 50 years of firefighters all across this country.
1954.
It started in Boston a long time
ago. How did you put up with me all those years?
It's easy, you know. We just have to have a sense of humor.
I hope so. Harold, it's such a joy to celebrate the 50 years.
Now, here's the thing. Mike, come on. So I agree.
Sad.
It's sad.
But I'm laughing. I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
It's sad, but it's... Robbie, I'm just skipping around here. Hold on, I'm going to go to...
Now, is that his most out of breath?
No.
No.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no. That is the opening of the show. I'm just going to give you some highlights here today. This is what I love.
It's a guilty pleasure every year.
Yeah. This is what I love. Not only is Jerry out of breath and apparently having a hard time concentrating, it's stream of consciousness.
Ah, that's the best Jerry.
Yeah. Listen to Jerry talk about Burger King.
All right.
I have to tell you this because this is not scripted. It's certainly not rehearsed. You guys know that. But with travel today and what it represents, with planes being late, with security, with all of the measures that are being taken so that we can take good care of Homeland Security.
So now you're hearing this and you're thinking...
He's going to talk about security, yeah.
Right. No, he's going to talk about Burger King.
Oh. Thank you.
We're in an airport a lot longer than you would normally be, and you got a lot of time. Thank God for Burger King. I can't get home for dinner. I can't get home for lunch. I can't get home for breakfast. I have had Big Whoppers. I've had three in one day. And I want you to know something. There's nothing better on the market. And I don't say that because you're with us. I say it because I had to tell you. I get to the airport. I run down a corridor. There it is. Get me a Whopper. And nope. They're sensational.
Listen to Ed
now. Thanks for being with us.
Thank
I appreciate
you,
it. Thank you,
thank
very,
you very
much.
Much.
Okay.
Ed? Ed?
This next lovely lady, an MDA supporter, is returning to the Broadway stage this fall as Marmy in the new musical version of Little Women. Please welcome my diva, Maureen McGovern, ladies and gentlemen.
Every year.
Yeah. The diva of MDA.
Was that supposed to be on there at one point?
Here's Jerry talking about how he loves popsicles.
This lady...
Oh, he's not sure he's on the air.
This lady sent me a love letter tonight that came to my dressing room. And with that love letter came my most favorite... Hello? Hello? Did I disrupt something here? I'm trying to tell you that I got a letter from this lovely lady before the show went on. And she had delivered to me two cases of my favorite sugar-free popsicles. And, you know, when you're a diabetic and you can't eat those things anymore and you got a place that makes sugar-free popsicles and they're delicious. Thank you, Larry, so much.
All right, so we got Whoppers. Yeah. We got Whoppers. We got popsicles. Now, Jerry's really starting to focus, on what really old people would focus
about
on.
Some Ed. We've got Ed's first mistake.
Hello, man.
Oh, good.
For over a decade, we've enjoyed a great relationship with Safeway Stores. It's my pleasure to welcome its Executive Vice President and MDA National Vice President, Larry Renda.
Larry.
Who? That's right.
You mean Larry?
You want to hear it again?
Yes, I do. Because Ed is just as good.
For over a decade, we've enjoyed a great relationship with Safeway Stores. It's my pleasure to welcome its Executive Vice President and MDA National Vice President, Larry Renda.
Larry.
Wow.
Hold on. I got a whole page of Ed screwing up stuff. Here's another
Ed
one.
Just as good.
Mm-hmm.
And here representing 7-Eleven, please welcome its merchandising manager, Daniel Garcilian. National...
Then I have to get him easier.
Hey, you
want to
hear it again? Here it is. Hold on.
And here representing 7-Eleven, please welcome its merchandising manager, Daniel Garcilian.
Ed just making it up as he's going along.
Let him play, because he's not the worst of
them. Okay, all right.
And here representing 7-Eleven, please welcome its merchandising manager, Daniel Garcilian, and its National Coalition of Associations of 7-Eleven franchisees chairman, Tariq Khan.
So many words.
Now,
and Ed is suddenly speaking French.
Now there are so many things to get through. I promise we'll come back tomorrow. We have to get to the Buzz Show here. There's a part with Larry King. I mean, there's so many great
Larry
things
King.
On the television. Listen to this thing with Larry King. The grandma now? Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Is Britney Spears?
Oh, yeah.
The grandma
back
tomorrow?
From the storm?
Yeah, hold on. Let's get back there.
Busy. Grandma's on hold.
I'll bet they're on hold. Schedule it for tomorrow. I don't even remember the setup now.
It's
guy that married Britney Spears for a day.
The first husband.
His grandmother, is that it? Or, hello?
Hello?
Oh, my God. Is this the grandma?
Yes. Can you hold on, please?
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, tomorrow, please.
I'll handle it.
Thank you.
Anheuser-Busch MDA team, it is my honor to present this check to MDA in the amount of...
Oh, okay, hold on. This is great because listen to Larry King, who's curious.
Now, Larry is subbing for Jerry.
Yeah, right? I'm jumping all over this thing, but we'll devote an entire segment to this tomorrow.
Larry did 9 a.m. to noon on Monday morning. He sat in Jerry's chair and is the guy that took the checks when the corporate...
Okay. So now listen to Larry's comments about Bud Light.
$773,000.
Whoa. Wow. How's Bud Light doing?
Doing great.
That's a big part of the industry now, right? Light.
It is. It's the number one beer in the nation.
Is Light?
Yes, it is. Bud Light.
Good sign. America's trimming down. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow.
That's the big thing, isn't it now? Light? Isn't the light like people are eating less, the light?
I can't get my tie to stay straight. I'd like to introduce Ed McMahon, ladies and gentlemen.
Jerry, here representing Popeye's Chicken and Biscuits from Miami, Florida. Stellarman Corporation, Vice President of Advertising.
Wow. Next year they're going to do this telethon from an assisted living community.
As you can hear,
Jesus,
this is some great, great stuff.
Let's say hi. Hello.
So,
what about Bud Light?
Is Bud Light, is that big now, the light?
Unlike in previous years, we will come back to this on tomorrow's episode.
All right. How's Bud Light doing?
Hello.
That's tomorrow.
Oh, my God, that's better than ever.
3 hours of tapes.
Amazing stuff.
Jerry Lewis, let me make sure from Beth Ann. Hi, Beth Ann.
Hey, I'm so sorry, but I got her, and I didn't know whether to put it through or not.
That's okay. Now, the setup is...
Uh-huh.
Britney Spears got married.
Right.
And remember, she got married before she just got married to that guy named Jason Alexander.
And the way I understand it, this Jason Alexander guy is not, and it's not the Jason Alexander with the bad new TV show. This guy that she married before is pretty banged up about it.
Yeah. He's pissed. So we have his grandma as a guest. She was late phoning in today.
She went to the store.
Do we have her set up for tomorrow for sure?
We have her set up at 4:45.
4:45.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it was the time change.
I'll write that down, and all you listeners out there.
Was it a change of life?
Write that down, too. 4:45. Oh, hold on a second, Beth Ann. Hold on. I got a message for you.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello from Jerry.
All right, tomorrow then we'll get Britney Spears' almost mother, grandmother-in-law tomorrow.
Right.
Okay. Hey, Beth Ann?
Yeah?
How's Bud Light doing?
How to?
That's big now, isn't it, the light?
The light.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
How's Bud Light doing?
How is it doing?
The light.
People
are
slimming down.
MDA team. It is my honor to present this check to MDA in the amount of $773,000.
Whoa. Whoa. Wow. How's Bud Light doing?
Doing great.
That's a big part of the industry now, right? Light.
It is. It's the number one beer in the nation.
Is Light?
Wow. Yes, it is. Bud Light.
Good sign America's trimming down. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's God. The same intellectual tower that asked Santa Claus about heart disease in front of a studio of children.
Rhetorical question. Wow. Are you retarded?
Oh, man.
All right, tomorrow we'll devote time to the entire Jerry reel of tape.
That's big now. Light. People are trimming. That's good. People are trimming down.
Light. Let's go to Buzz right now. Buzz, hello?
Hi.
Hello.
In a world where owning a radio is strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzzy.
He made it up.
All right, Buzz, what is the lead story today?
Today, the CBSI sheds a tear as the news department admits it screwed the pooch.
Mm-hmm. Here's Dan Rather.
Hello.
There he is. All right, stay tuned, everyone.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, fall is here. That means carting your kids everywhere. Feeling like you got to be in half a dozen places at once. If you can't, you can stay in touch with OnStar Personal Calling.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free phone built into OnStar-equipped vehicles.
Voice-activated dialing, hands-free operation. Keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel.
It offers better connectivity in areas with limited cell phone reception because it has more broadcast power and an externally mounted antenna.
There's no phone to hold, no battery to recharge, no additional long distance or roaming charges.
That's big now in the industry, isn't it, Light? Minute packages start under $15 and you're not bound by a separate contract.
Hello? How's OnStar Light doing?
It's doing good. It's big now, isn't it, Light?
Safe and sound plan. $16.95 per month plus tax after the first year if you don't have OnStar. Press your blue button to order minutes or go to OnStar.com.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yes, we are.
WKKS.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Oh, we're sorry.
Hey, hey, hey.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, we're sorry.
I know, okay. Time for Buzz's news and comment now.
Come, tickle the toes of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Buzz brought to you by Duramax, the world's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer. Duramax, number one because it works. Doctor developed.
Someone call for a doctor?
Call 1-888-TRY-DMAX. See, tomorrow on the show,
yes.
Grant Winstrom from the Seattle Seahawks, Betty Alexander, who is the grandmother of the Britney Spears thing, and also live from Germany, somebody reporting on Oktoberfest.
Oh, good. How's Viramax doing?
And the rest of the Jerry Lewis tapes on tomorrow's show. It's time for Buzz in the News now. If I could just tell you, I had 2 weeks of spectacular, relaxing vacation. Mm-hmm. No wife, no kids, right. No hassle, no nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I couldn't be happier to be back here with all you guys.
Very good to be back.
I mean, I love radio. I love our jobs. I love the fact that... I found out that really I am... Like Bush says, I'm ready for 4 more years.
Right.
I had a couple of weeks to get away to think, what would it be like mm-hmm. not to come in and do the show every day? It'd kill me. I like coming in and doing the show.
Fine.
I like it. Yes, I do. Hmm. I like it. And, oh, yes.
Poor old Ellen.
Very good.
That's all I want to do.
Mm-hmm. That's our way of the tribute to... what's his name again?
I don't remember. Lion.
Some guy, I don't know. French fry guy.
Yeah, baby dog.
He had his points.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Quoting Dan Rather, we made a mistake. Executives at CBS News now believe the documents shown in a recent 60 Minutes report are fake. The four memos were supposedly from the personal file of President Bush's squadron commander in the National Guard. That man's been dead now for 20 years.
And here's the tip-off with this thing.
Yeah.
Anybody check out the font on those things?
Oh, yeah. It's modern font, like from a computer.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, back then...
I feel sorry for Dan Rather. He was so adamant when they first were questioning him.
Yes.
We're standing by the story.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, it's got like the craziest fonts that you could ever imagine if you were making a document today.
Right. They didn't exist back then.
Usually the only fake document that CBS is aware of are paychecks. Beyond that, they got no idea what's real and what's fake.
Well, you know, when you consider the average age of some of the people on 60 Minutes, perhaps they're not familiar with those newfangled modern computers.
Well, these papers said the commander was under pressure to sugarcoat Bush's military record and that Bush had disobeyed in order to get a medical exam. Higher ups at CBS News say they still believe the gist of the memos, but they say the documents themselves are apparently forged. The memos are written in a font, as you mentioned, that didn't exist when they were supposedly written. The network's reportedly now investigating itself over this. Word is CBS executives now believe the 60 Minutes piece was too flawed to even be allowed on the air in the first place.
You know, God, I don't want to get into it now because I got into a political discussion on more than one occasion with people.
Mm-hmm.
It is my belief right now, whatever today is, September 20th,
right.
2 months of the election.
Yes.
I think the other guy right now has got a huge lead on our guy.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
You better believe it.
I'm feeling that.
Well, I mean the poll's back. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling that vibe. I'm on the phone with my kid this weekend. Two weekends ago. You know, the vacation time runs together. Right. Anyway, Clemson, where he goes to college, they're on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, hey, Dad, ESPN is down here. So turn it on. I might get on TV. Because it's a shot of like 10,000 drunk college kids.
Right.
And while they're holding up the sign saying Clemson is number one, and of course you've got the rebel flag going in the background, there had to be five signs that said W-04.
Wow.
Now, these are not slickly produced signs that somebody from the campaign went down to Clemson, South Carolina with.
Right, right.
These are signs that the college kids are making and wanting to make a statement on TV on ESPN's College Game Day.
You know, and it's hard to say where it's going, and you know, with that part of the world, Clemson's a conservative campus, but it's I think really I'm getting kind of that vibe, and what a lot of people are saying on the Democrat side is if they want to see their guy, you know, step it up a little bit. I think everybody feels the same way. It's time to maybe step it up. And who knows whether the debates are going to change things or not. But in any event, I'd like to see. I know a lot of people feel the same way.
They're not going to change if Kerry is not more aggressive.
Even before the debates, I think he's got to be more aggressive. And, you know, what was it yesterday? They were talking about all these different feelings that Americans have about the war and about the economy. Mm-hmm. And everybody feels the same way.
Yeah.
And normally, a president that's in office when that's going on, with Americans feeling that way, has a decided disadvantage. It doesn't seem to be the case.
He's got a huge lead.
We're a very forgiving country.
And I'm talking to a lot of people who I think are smarter than me. A lot of regular business guys who like have their, you know, wear a tie to work and everything every day. These guys, generally speaking, liberals, Democrats, saying, I can't see the compelling reason to change from the guy who's got the job now.
And I think a lot of people would tell you because, you know, they just haven't seen the guy step up yet. And I, you know, I'm sure he's doing what he thinks is the best he can, but I want to see more. I want to see more from my candidate.
This thing with these memos, you know, Kerry should have come on TV at some time last week and said, listen, it's my ass we're talking about here, my fight with George Bush. If CBS screwed it up, get it right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear anything from Kerry.
No.
I don't hear anything.
We haven't. In fact, you called it early in the campaign. I was reading a political analyst today who said that Kerry's mistake was not being more aggressive sooner, which is what you said from the very beginning, that he should come out swinging at the start.
But I will also, and here's the warning for this, and just based on his track record, I also don't believe anything is decided yet, and I think a lot can change between now and the election. But I know I feel like a lot of Democrats right now, you know, where it's like, come on, let's get it going, and it doesn't seem to be. I'm wondering whether there's anything he can do this.
A lot of voters, well, maybe, because a lot of voters are just now starting to pay attention, starting to ask questions, starting to see what the candidates are going to say, and like you said, the debates may make a difference.
I will tell you the difference between now and 4 years ago. You're talking about seeing the W signs. I'm seeing a lot of Kerry Edwards stuff out there. That the differences between this election and the last one, I didn't see anything for Gore. I didn't see anything for Gore in the last.
Here's the caveat to that. I agree. I see a lot more Carrie Edwards signs. However, I've seen those for the last 6 or 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is now I'm seeing more and more
true
W stuff.
Yeah, it's
and like you know, you pull up behind someone in traffic in a car that's got a W sticker,
right?
And you're expecting it to be like, oh, Ron, I am late for the stables, but you see. No, it's some working mom, a regular mom with regular kids, who, for whatever reason, you know, this is why I'm worried that Bush just might win again.
Well, the polls, last one I saw said 50% to 42% in favor of Bush, and we'll talk about those debates that you mentioned when we come back.
And hold on, the other thing, Cheney. He's one scary dude. I see this guy...
like Dr. Evil.
Yeah, I see this guy giving his speeches now.
Right.
And if anything, Kerry should take a clue from Cheney. Because Cheney's got no problem with coming up and saying, well, John Kerry thinks there's not a problem with this. I bet he wouldn't think there was a problem when Adolf Hitler went into Paris.
Yeah.
I mean, Cheney is coming
gloves
out.
Gloves off yeah. all the way.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, there's our guy. Our guy with the big Stan Laurel face. And, Christ, and the other guy.
Don't count our guy out yet, though. Don't count him out.
And let me just say this also about our other guy, the hillbilly. The
John Edwards.
Right. He's got to do something about that thing on his lip.
Yeah.
I know.
So it's not a herpy thing.
No, it's
no,
not.
It's like a permanent wart.
It's a permanent wart, oh, my man.
Because I haven't seen him since the convention.
Yes, it's a permanent wart.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely permanent.
We don't need that.
But
that'll be good. Yes. If they do win, that'll be good material.
That'll be great.
After yeah. battling over who did what in a war 35 years ago, the two presidential candidates will now face off over the war we're fighting now. Yes, they are going to debate, and we'll talk about that when we come back.
I don't know. Do you have a date?
Yeah, I have several dates. There are several debates.
Have they both agreed?
Well,
all right. When we come back,
yeah.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Words are hard for them.
Right.
Don and Mike.
Hey, here's Van Hagar. Sammy Hagar has got the Cabo Wabo thing.
Yeah. Right.
In Cabo San Lucas, Mexico again. Sammy will be on the show this week, and we are giving away a trip to join Sammy Hagar at the Cabo Wabo Meltdown.
Is that only for people who need it?
Yeah, right. Just like Oprah. Right, Mike. Qualify tomorrow to win a trip, courtesy of Cabo Wabo and Sam Hagar.
Very good.
Wow. Now here is Buzz.
How is Cabo doing? Big now, isn't it?
Cabo Light.
That's it. The light?
The light.
Good.
The light?
Good to hear America slimming down.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're hearing anyway, that both the Bush and Kerry campaigns have agreed to a series of three debates, the first one 10 days from now. The Bush camp had wanted only two presidential debates and one vice presidential debate. There will still be one of those on October 5th. The other two presidential debates would be October 8th and October 13th. Now, all of this from a source close to the debate organizers.
So the first one, you're saying, will be on September 30th?
Exactly.
Okay. So they're going to have three total presidential debates?
That's what we're being told.
I don't buy that for a second.
Well, Bush just wanted two, but all of this, as I said, comes from a source close to the people who are organizing the debates. They've also set up the locations across the country. Now, the Bush White House denies there's been any agreement.
Mm-hmm.
In a royal decree issued over the weekend, a Bush campaign spokesman said, and I quote, "When there's an agreement, we'll announce it."
Mm-hmm.
That's their position.
All right, like animals that urinate in the woods. Okay, I got you, guys.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. I think there will be two. There couldn't be any less than two, but there will be. There won't be any more.
There's a guy named Bud in Buffalo. Hey, Bud.
Let's party.
What's your problem? Hey, Bud.
Hey, no, I just wanted to call and tell you. I got two quick things. John Kerry, if you noticed when he went against Howard Dean, he waited till the last second, and then he went for a throat. I think that's what he's waiting for.
A lot of people are saying that.
Well, he better hurry then, because time's running out.
Well, I think what it boils down to is that, you know, the American public has the attention span of a gnat anyway.
You're right about that.
What was that?
I think
what'd you say? What did you say?
Hey, look, Apple.
Bunny.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Mike. John Kerry will be making other TV appearances as he seems to be losing support to President Bush. Kerry did the hip thing by appearing on the Emmy-winning Daily Show on Comedy Central. He'll also preach to the choir on Letterman. But the more desperate Kerry will also appear on Live with Regis and Kelly. And brace yourselves on Dr. Phil.
Oh, my God.
Some thoughts on that, please.
Democrats are said to be increasingly depressed about Kerry's poll numbers, but Dr. Phil?
Tom Gavin's doing the hip thing, incidentally.
Yes.
He's having hip replacement surgery.
Robot.
I read an interesting article with Jon Stewart in some magazine on vacation.
Emmy winner Jon Stewart.
Yes.
Where he said, isn't it amazing that John Kerry comes on The Daily Show, and I think Jon Stewart categorized it as a dumb move by Kerry, a dumb move by any politician who wants to be taken seriously to come on his show, a dumb move by Jon Stewart, because Jon Stewart said he was too caught up in all of the hoopla with Kerry's finally coming on the show. Anyway, Jon Stewart described it as a gigantic waste of time.
Yeah, and yes. Anybody that watched it, I'm a huge fan of Jon Stewart, mm-hmm. and I like John Kerry, and I was so mad
he got
when it was over, because it was nothing. It was a waste
and
of time.
It'll be the same thing on Letterman tonight. Right. Letterman will devote the entire hour to John Kerry, mm-hmm. and although it might be kind of a commercial for John Kerry,
right.
there's not going to be anything funny that, unless you're really into Kerry, you're going to be able to draw from.
I'm finding myself thinking about what that last caller was saying, though,
yeah.
with the way that people work in this country and the attention span we have. I think it might be a last-second kick, and I think
that might be smart.
I mean, who knows? Mm-hmm. I mean, I really don't think people lose interest. I'm as into it as anybody. I've lost interest.
You know what I'd do, though, if I was them? I don't know if this bitch's book is true or not,
mm-hmm.
but this Kitty Kelly book.
Bring the book to the debates.
Man. Now, doesn't she say that he's doing coke up at Camp David?
Oh, yeah. And that Laura Bush sold pot.
Sold now, pot, yeah.
She doesn't look like any pot dealer either. As I would imagine them to look.
Michael Elston
as Buzz Burbank. Oh, you got such a vivid imagination, Buzz.
In sports, the L.A. Dodgers say the Dodgers are angry with an investment banker who bought entire sections at that ballpark. He did it because he can afford it and because he wants to catch Barry Bonds' 700th home run ball.
Let me ask you,
yes.
What's the problem? Earlier in the year,
mm-hmm.
I looked at the schedule.
Of course.
I thought Barry Bonds would be hitting around 700 home runs around the time they played the Dodgers. I bought all of the tickets.
It's a worthy investment.
So I can catch the ball.
I think it's just what it is showing you an entrepreneurial spirit.
and you know what else?
I enjoy the baseball.
Specific people love about this guy.
Right.
Not only did he buy out all these sections of Dodger Stadium so he could catch the ball and sell it,
mm-hmm.
he's now decided for other money fans who want a chance to win the ball, you can pay him $1,000 for a ticket to sit somewhere in the section, meaning that your chances get better because you've got like a 1 in 300 chance if he hits it in the part of the stadium.
Tell him to get bent.
Your 300 seats.
I heard they had to sign an agreement when they bought that ticket to turn the ball over to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I read.
Well, but Buzz, you're the bigger sports fan.
I would know.
You're
going to have to defer to me.
And he's got a vivid imagination.
You're probably right.
Finally,
Laura Bush.
In Joliet, Illinois, a woman slipped into a ballpark at about 4 o'clock Sunday morning and started stacking folding tables and chairs and traffic cones, but it wasn't because she worked there. It's not her job. And then she took a pickaxe and attacked an ATM machine at the ballpark. Did about $2,000 damage.
Who was this?
She did a woman, just a woman in Joliet, Illinois.
Is she your grandma?
No. Yeah, a middle-aged woman.
Yeah, I see fish.
That's what she was saying. Yes, she was a grandma. She didn't steal anything.
Granny.
Not even souvenirs, except maybe the T-shirt she picked up on her way out. Security cameras show that up until that point, the woman had done all of these things in the nude. No word yet on why. Quoting a stadium spokesman, strange story, isn't it? I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No. Oh, yes.
No.
Yes, yes. Tomorrow on
the show. Oh, those Jerry Lewis tapes. You know, today we never got to the phone scan.
No, we did not.
Huh. We'll take your calls tomorrow. I don't think we talked about current events.
That's let's be fine with.
Except for the news. We'll try to get to all of this tomorrow. Plus, we'll talk to the guy who just engineered the coup here at the station.
Yes.
Michael Hughes.
Big Daddy. Baby Doc. Our thanks today to Mark Cuban, nutty billionaire owner of the Dallas Mavericks, his show, The Benefactor. That's tonight at 8, 7 Central on ABC.
Very nice guy.
We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 And
okay. How'd it go? All right, goodbye. Please stay tuned for Ron and Fez. Coming up next on WJFK on Live 105 and on 1010 The Buzz in Tampa Bay.
There you go.
Everybody else get the let out or whatever, and we will see you tomorrow with a new episode.
Lick the knife.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, WKLK.
Yeah, I see fish.
Too busy to meet new friends? The WJFK Dateline can change your life. Log on to WJFK.matchlink.com.